That movie, yeah, that movie's not great no matter what you do with it. Mm-hmm. You could have, yeah, you could have the reincarnation of the greatest actress in the world, Meryl Streep. She's not dead. Let's reincarnate her and put her into
You could have a clone of Meryl Streep
playing the daughter of Al Pacino in Godfather 3. And I don't think that movie would be any better.
This is the dumbest thing in the world, but at the time...
What? Why what I just said wasn't?
No. Oh, this is goodness. Dumber. Sneaky Dragon Argo. I am Ian Boothby.
I am Super Marionation David Dedrick.
That's right. I am the later, cheesier CGI version. It's not as good. No. They try to mimic it. It's not good. You need the actual puppets to make it make it go. What's your favorite Marionation show?
Super Marionation. Space 1999. Super realistic Martin Landau.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
lady who turns into a cat.
Really?
I think so. I think there's a lady that they do close-ups on.
Oh, there's a lady that turns into... Oh, I said later he turns into a cat. And I was like, what?
Nope, but there's a lady.
That's a twist. No, yes, right. Barbara Bain?
Barbara Katz.
Barbara Katz. Barbara Papa. Man, we've gone a long way in that circle.
I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of Space 1999, but I do like the opening credit sequence.
It's pretty good.
To the point where I have, over and over again, tried to pitch... To different sketch things. Let's do Earth 1999, but have that opening thing, do a shot-for-shot remake, but just things that were actually happening in 1999.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And people went, that sounds like a good idea, and then we never do it.
Mm.
So that idea is out there, folks. That's public domain to you. Well, the song isn't, but you know the idea is. So please do it, and then I'll just shove it in all their faces and go, see, we could have done that. That
would have been good.
But we didn't.
I did watch, I watched a few of those shows. It's, you know, I really think that Gerry Anderson, his forte was directing puppets and not humans, because I feel like UFO.
Wait a second, was he connected with both
shows? Yeah, he did Space 1999 as well.
Okay, all right.
And he did UFO, which was another science fiction show with humans. And I feel like those shows are a little dry-ish, whereas the goofy Stingray and Fireball XL5 and Captain Scarlet and of course Thunderbirds are all great fun.
You know, now that you're mentioning it though, I think there's a lot of episodes of original Star Trek I would prefer as Marionation. The one with the Gorn, that would be great with two puppets fighting, just trying to slap each other around and throwing a rock, and oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
As live action, it's camp goof-em-ups, but like Marionation, that'd be wicked. Hmm. People should do that. Again, there's another great idea. Make yourself some Star Trek puppets. Take the sound of the show and just recreate them using puppets. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, I think...
Guaranteed a million hits on YouTube. Hmm. Boom, right there.
Team America World Police would be a truly unpleasant film with human actors.
Oh, my gosh,
but with puppets,
it's
pretty good. Like, it's a pretty enjoyable romp.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting also, but it's an enjoyable romp, mm-hmm. you know, like... it feels like that is something that could be explored more.
Well, every so often you have to... Sorry, by the way, we have an explicit rating, so here comes the swears.
Fuck me.
Exactly. Oh. Every so often you need to see something fuck that you would not normally see fuck. Again, I couldn't be more sorry if you're listening to this with your parents. Back then, it was like, let's see some puppets.
Or your grandparents.
And let's see them have sex for a very long time.
Yeah.
Way too long.
Yeah.
Way too graphic. Way too long. Mm-hmm. And that's how you do it. And nowadays, we have your sausage party, and you got to see like a whole bunch of, you know, foodstuffs really going at it. Again, way too long. Way too graphic.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the next generation is going to bring to the table.
Where can we go with this?
But they're going to bring something to the table, and we're going to see something just going at it. Perhaps it will be social media sites. And you'll see a couple of those just like going at it.
I think it'll be less, well, I was going to say less like, because the Team America one is pretty obvious, like it's two puppets going at it. But maybe this have one that is just, it's just like a penis, like penises having sex with other penises.
Oh, the actual sexual organs.
It'll just be entendre. There'll be no like attempt to like disguise it anyway, or just like, it'll just be right. Like,
that's interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. And you know, I was going to go, well, what was the generation before that? And of course, the generation before that was Fritz the Cat.
Mm.
And you had, you know, animated, you know, cat having sex with an animated rabbit.
Mm.
You know, and that was shocking and went on probably too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there, every generation brings a, hey, you know what should be having sex? these couple of things. Yeah. But you're right. The idea that maybe it's actually sex organs that are having sex with other sex organs. Yeah, that might that might be the way to go.
We may have stopped it by suggesting it. From reading comments around at the time of Team America was that part of the reason they did that scene was just so the MPAA would have to spend a lot of time looking at puppet anatomy. Mm-hmm. While they had sex and decide, is this what is the rating for this?
And they did.
It's not real.
And then later they really complained about all the work they had to put in that thing and said they'd never do it again because it was just way too much work.
Is that right?
Yeah, way, 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 way too much work.
Yeah.
And I guess it is. You know, that's, again, this is what, you know, your Seth Rogen's also say that he was asked about, are you going to do Sausage Party 2? It's like, man, it's about 5 years working on that kind of thing. I'd rather do something new.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of work to, you know.
Yeah.
And then you get a sequel and people go, meh.
That's true enough. Yeah. Like, why would you do it? Like, do we need to, well...
What I haven't seen the movie, but
I've not seen Sausage Party.
Let's just say, like, probably not much more needs to be said.
No.
You know, they probably answered all the questions and wrapped up all the plots.
Sure.
There's nothing dangling that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like no unanswered questions. Everything's fine. Yep. The Sausage Party universe is taking
the last scene of the film. A Clif Bar is hanging from the counter, and that's where it just stops right there.
Very good.
So you know. Yeah.
Yep. Everybody, put that together in your head. Add it all up. Yeah. See, there's a joke. Good on you.
What, am I making too much work? Am I putting people to too much trouble?
No, that's okay.
Is that what you're saying?
Depends. Some people are on a treadmill right now. They can't be
bothered.
They can't be doing clever wordplay, assembling things in their head. That's why there's no math podcasts, because people just fall off a treadmill.
There are math podcasts.
Yeah, but there's not math podcasts where they just lay out a whole formula and go, hey, solve this in your head, because people will just fall off the treadmill and be injured. Mm. Or like...
Yeah.
Drive their car into a post or something, you know, trying to figure it out.
You're right.
You know, they will talk of math, but they will not try to solve math.
They will not talk to math.
Yes.
That math, you know, it's a lot of like math shunning podcasts. I don't know what I'm talking about.
People trying to divide themselves from math, subtract math from their life.
They're just trying to keep it. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. My favorite math show is Plus One.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. We start talking about math. My mind starts to wander away as if I'm in math class again.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the math show was that I used to like, but it was on PBS. And it was they had like a dragnet type thing with like, they were all, you know, math detectives. And it was all a show about math.
Hmm.
It was kind of like Sesame Street for math, but like all sketch comedy. And then, yeah, the detective show about math was probably the best bit in it, but had animation. It really made you like math. It was cool. It was like when I was a kid and watched Electric Company. It really made me like the idea of reading. It was like, I just want to be able to read all this stuff because it was very fun. I liked it more, I think, than I like Sesame Street, Electric Company. It felt
Electric Company felt more hip.
Yeah, it felt more like, you know, you're watching a proper show or something where, you know, you would grow out of Sesame Street and feel like that's for babies. But Electric Company still felt pretty cool. And retroactively, it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's tough to watch now with a little bit of the Bill Cosby in there. You go like, oh, that's a shame. But, you know, that's a little thing, you know. But it's got Morgan Freeman. It's got, you know, Rita Moreno. It's got a lot of quality people. Winnie the Pooh was in it, too.
No, that's right. The actress's name was Winnie.
All right.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. It's been a while since I saw someone yell, hey, you guys.
And
heard someone.
As I grew older, when they had the Spider-Man segments on, I would try to guess what the panels were from what comics that they would use on the sides.
Okay. Because
they would always have like the real panels.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, they'd have their live action stuff. Like, what's that from? Which one is that? And then, you know, as I became older, I was like, well, that's a Ross Andrews. So that's from this period and whatever. Wow. Could just really nerd out on that.
Skills.
Yep.
With a Z.
Yep.
Nice. Okay, well, enough about
that. That's our
show. Because, boy, it's funny. Like, when you start talking about math, I actually do, my mind does start to wander. It's a strange thing. Like, it's as if I'm not interested in it at all. And it's curious.
Did you not like math when you were young?
I didn't. I did very badly in math. And I did do very badly in math. I even did badly in math when I tried my hardest to do well. I would do middling, which was very depressing for me as, like, someone who made his way through school with minimum effort but maximum marks. To hit a class where I couldn't minimum effort through it. So I really had to try. And even trying, I wouldn't. And I get a C-. And I'd just be like, well, this is a waste of my time.
Why do you think math's got such a bad,
it's boring.
Bad rap?
Like, boring.
Why is it boring?
It's boring.
It's problem solving. Problem solving's fun. Like
problem solving is fun once. But no one wants to solve the same problem over and over again.
Well, you're not solving the same problem.
You're pretty much solving the same problem over and over
again. If you're doing algebra, you're solving different things, and you're increasing.
You're doing the same thing.
I think
same steps.
You could almost compare it to like a video game, and like, you know, it gets harder and harder, and here's your boss level, and now you got to like overcome this kind of thing, and you'll be all right. Like, I remember, like, that was the thing with like algebra, was when algebra was discussed, it was discussed in hushed tones. You know, it was like, oh boy, algebra.
Yeah.
But you know what? High school kids can do algebra because they've always done algebra. So you could do algebra. That isn't impossible. Look at all these kids doing algebra. You can do it. Mm-hmm. But it just was like, no, man, algebra. It was like the worst. It was like, that's a shame, you know? I get that, you know, the thing is like later on in life, when are you going to use this? But, you know, it's just fun getting your brain working with that kind of stuff. And
I guess.
Building blocks of the universe, man.
I found it very dull.
Yeah, and that's a shame.
It is a shame because, to me, if you're going to be teaching math, I think when you introduce like new concepts like algebra or trigonometry or calculus, you should talk about the history of it. Like, why did this person invent calculus, or why did someone start like using x and y axis
and how did that change the world? What could be built then after that, or what could be done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the history of it is the history of it is very interesting. I read a book actually, a book on the history of zero, which is interesting as a numeric concept, and something that was like revolutionary at one time. And it's just interesting. It's interesting to read that people invented the plus symbol or the time symbol at some point, and they were just like, you know, and that a lot of the work was done by just people who had spare time, you know, and would work on these concepts and things. And it's just interesting to me, like. Now, I wish I could remember more. I used to do more of the history of it, and I can't remember now. And I think it was calculus. The calculus was invented. One of them was invented. Was it Descartes who invented it? Or, gee, see, I can't remember now. I almost feel like I shouldn't be talking about it because I can't remember. But he invented something we learned in school because he was too lazy to do the geometry necessary to do the functions that he was trying to do. So he created a new way of doing geometry.
That's great, yeah.
And that's a fascinating thing, that this was like a lazy answer to like a complicated thing that someone had to do. And it might be trigonometry. It might be the one that involved x and y axes and stuff like that. See, someone can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I'm sorry that I can't remember now.
And I'm exaggerating here. I'm going to say no one creates something so that things will be harder. Everyone creates something so it'll be easier. So if you're building your hut or whatever you're going to do, you can either like eyeball the materials, or you can measure them and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And now it's easier because now they're all the same size, and you can put them together and they won't fall down. And you've made it easier with math. And I think that's the thing with how we're taught math, is this is going to make things harder. Your life will be harder once you know this. There's no benefit that you're told.
Yeah.
So why would you put in this effort with no benefit?
It's important too to separate counting sheep in a field from mathematics, because they're different in a way. Like, mathematics is like practiced by theoretical physicists and things like that. It's a completely different thing than counting sheep in a field. It's almost like math as a pure thing that's outside of
right. There's outside a practical of reality. Of math. Yeah. It's like, how many sheep do I have?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't. You know, possibly count them all because they're all moving. So you can then break it down and go, okay, so if I take this section and I know how big this is, then I can at least approximate how many sheep I have. Okay, that's how I know that the wolf is eating the sheep. And as a shepherd, this affects my life. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But you're right. It does get into almost, it's almost fucking magic is what it is. You just go, what? And then, it again, the building blocks of the universe.
Yeah.
You know, and...
There's an interesting documentary on Netflix called Particle Fever about the building the Large Hadron Collider in CERN, and it's quite interesting. It's because it has different points of view. It has that there's the theoretical physicists, and then the physicists are dealing with like the physical reality of building the collider and building this big thing, and then you have the people who are theorizing about what could be found by this, by what they're going to be learning through this, through the collider. And it's interesting. And what I found most fascinating was the minds of the people who are in it. There's two theoretical physicists that they kind of follow. One is, he's a Canadian, actually, a Persian Canadian. He's from Iran. And then another one is a Jewish American guy, and they're friends. And there's a scene where they're in, I assume the office of one of them at this college or university in the States. And they're looking down at this art piece. And it's just, by a British artist. And it's just bits of like rock, shale and stuff that have been kind of randomly placed in a pattern or in a, it's a random, I mean, it looks like he just had a dump truck come and dump it into the courtyard, mm-hmm. and then maybe he just organized it a little bit and then I'm done. So they're like, I suppose we could move that. And then it cuts to them. They're down there. They're like moving the rocks around in this art thing. For me, I'm like, you're wrecking his art. But they're like, I'm sure this is what we're supposed to do. Like, I'm sure this stuff you could just move around. And I just thought that the difference in the way of approaching things is interesting. Like, the way their minds work was different than the way my mind works, where that's someone's art, you just leave it alone. You know, like, that's, you know, now it's fixed. It's a thing that's done. And they're like, no, we can take and explore it and move it around. And it was really kind of curious. And then I enjoyed, in terms of the people working in CERN, they followed a woman, and she was, she was involved in the hard part of like putting this thing together and making it work as a physical reality. And so you had her journey and her thoughts about it. And then you had their thoughts and hopes and, you know, and obviously the whole thing kind of works around discovering the Higgs boson as this sort of like the key particle that's missing from everyone's theory. Like, they need to find this thing in order. And if it's not there, what the hell do we do? And then they start to run it. And it's curious because they, you know, it has a really great sense of like anticipation. You know, they're like they're firing or whatever they're doing. And then everyone's waiting. And you're like, oh, is it going to work? If they put all this money in and and then the light flashes, and everyone's like so excited because the little screen went boop, and everyone's so happy and they're cheering and yelling and carrying on, and everyone's happy. And then very shortly after that, there's a problem in the vacuum system and the whole thing breaks down, and they have to start repairs, and it's a big involved process, and everyone's, oh, I have to wait even longer to find out. And then they finally do find out. And what was amusing to me as a viewer was the fact that you have these two different supersymmetry and the multiverse idea, two competing ideas, and where will the Higgs boson fall and point to? Is it going to be supersymmetry or is it going to be the multiverse? And it falls right in the center. It gives them no more clue to the, you know, and it's pretty interesting. It's pretty fascinating. So yeah, and it was presented in an interesting way, and I'm sure that it's available in multi Netflix, so not just Canadian but American and around the world.
What's it called?
Called Particle Fever.
Okay, nice. All right.
It's worth what I like to call a wasson, which is that I play it while I'm drawing.
Oh, I thought it when you go a wasslin'.
That's not when I go wasslin', because that's a different thing entirely. No, this is when I listen and
because you do like going to wasslin'.
Because I can't really watch it so much as I listen to it, so yeah. I just call it wasson. So I wassened that movie.
Do you do you ever wasson movies while you're coloring or anything like that?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
It's hard to, you know, I just do ones that I've watched before that I just want to watch key scenes of that I like. Mm-hmm. I watched The Fighter the other night. Have you seen that film, The Fighter, with that David O. Russell movie with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale?
No, I haven't seen that. No.
You haven't seen that? And
no,
Amy Adams? You
no.
haven't seen that? And I can't think of
either. I know. I was going to be like, wouldn't it be funny if like, you say it a couple more times and go, yeah, I saw it. And you finally break me down. I have to admit that I saw it because I'm like.
And Conan O'Brien's sister is in it as one of the sisters, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Is she tall and Irish looking? Is that how you knew?
The sister? No.
Are you sure it's not Conan O'Brien and drag?
Maybe. Whoops. Maybe. I just know because he said that she was in it.
Oh, nice.
But I don't know which one was
true. Get the feeling and that Conan's one of those hosts that has infinite siblings.
Yes. Much like
Colbert,
the character in The Fighter.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised you haven't seen that. It's a very good film. Christian Bale is just... it's just amazing in it.
I'll tell you probably why I haven't seen it, because I do not care for films where people fight. I don't like seeing people get
hit. You don't like boxing
face.
Movies?
Nah.
Interesting.
Not a big fan. I'll watch a cheesy.
But you watch Creed, and you were all over it.
I was, because Creed was a really interesting film, yeah.
Why do you think it was interesting?
Because it brought something very fresh to what was a very stale franchise.
Okay.
Like Rocky, the first Rocky, you know, there's fighting in Rocky, obviously.
Yes.
Okay, and yeah. But
they're boxing movies.
But they're boxing movies. And it's, you know, again, I saw Rocky way after it was like out and it was a thing, and I knew all the, you know, things that are from Rocky, and so you watch Rocky. And
you read the Mad Parody.
Yeah, I read the Mad parody, and you know, then I, you know, and then it just gets cheesier and cheesier. You see the second one, like, that's cheesy. Third one, super cheesy. Four, holy shit, cheesy. Then five, hey man, this shit's serious. And you're like, nope, it's not. You can't fridge to the microwave. Doesn't work. And next one, Rocky Balboa, almost. Yeah. You almost got it. Not quite, not necessary. And then Creed, it was like, oh yeah, this actually makes some sense. It feels like there's a reason for this movie. It was very charming. And I wasn't a big fan of the fighting bits, but I liked like everything else kind of in it. I liked seeing him interacting with Stallone. I thought they made Rocky an interesting character in that. That film did work for me. But yeah, seeing people get hit, I'm not a big fan of the in the blood and the spitting in the bucket.
I like all that stuff. Yeah. I love it. That's interesting.
That said, I can take seeing people get shot in the head for days.
I know.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
Blam. John Wick. Infinite headshots. Just fine.
Headshots and stuff like that. It's almost not unvisceral.
But Wick is always this. It's always shot to the gut. Yeah. Then poof, it's like, oh, good for him. He's being nice.
That's right.
He's giving the headshot the head.
You want the guy to lay on the ground and die for days? Yeah.
You know, you could have just shot him in the head the first place.
Bullets are expensive. Yeah, he's wasting a lot of money.
Did you see John Wick?
I saw John Wick.
You didn't see the second one?
I have not seen the second one. That is on my...
There is a good thing about limited bullets in there.
List of films to see.
Yeah.
I like John Wick up until near the two-thirds point, and then I don't like the movie anymore.
Oh, okay.
Up to that point, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it does something I don't like in movies. It has the villain...
Oh, that scene,
the
yeah.
monologuing villain. Okay. You know, when you have something that's like a cliche and has a word that's been... made into a verb to describe what people are doing.
Right.
Because monologuing isn't really a... But now we have a word called monologuing. And when we say that, we mean that the villain says, well, Mr. Bond, you didn't expect this to happen, did you? And now I'm going to talk to you for quite a while and let you escape from your bonds.
Bonds is fine.
Yeah, bonds. Yeah. It seemed weird that his name's Bond and also he's in bonds. But anyway, and then, you know, you can...
That'd be a fun thing for the villain to say. Well, Mr. Bond, it's funny because you're in Bonds and your name is Bond. Hey, you know the thing too. Burt Ward was in Batman and he was the Ward, Dick Grayson, but his name was Ward. That's also cool. Anyway, I'm going to hit your balls with this rope. Waka-da-ka-ka. Waka-da-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka.
Do it again. Yeah.
And that's what gives James Bond his super penis. That impresses everyone for the rest of the movies. Because it got damaged just in the right way that people went, nice. That's it.
James
that's
Lee?
His penis's superhero origin story.
That's right. That's right. His swollen member. What was I going to say? Yeah, it just bothers me that when, you know, you create a character,
mm-hmm.
and his name is John Wick, and he's the boogeyman.
Right.
He's not just the boogeyman.
He's the boogeyman.
He's the boogeyman who kills the boogeyman. That's how much of a boogeyman he is. He boogeyman's boogeyman.
That's right. He actually pops into the movie Nightmare Before Christmas and kills the boogeyman character.
Thank God.
One to the gut, releases all the cockroaches. And one to the head, releases all the ghosts in the brain. Good guy. Classy guy.
He put him into his misery.
Yeah, nice. That's good for him.
Nice guy. But so we have established his character as being so dangerous that he's beyond dangerous.
Yeah.
He gets knocked down by a car.
Right.
In a pretty like dumb way, because he like walks into like a group of people firing a gun.
All right.
When he has a big gun that could fire from a distance. Mm-hmm. Why are you walking into the group of people? But anyway, he gets knocked over by a gun or by a truck.
He's tired.
When that happens, you take your gun and you shoot him. Once in the gut, once in the head. It's kindness. You don't take him, tie him to a chair, and then talk to him for a bit. Well, what I wanted to say, boogeyman, is... Okay.
All right. Well, we can get into a discussion about that. But,
sure.
But let me just say about John Wick 2, they don't have that scene.
Good.
There's some talkie scenes, but the talkie scenes make sense for what they are, but there's none of
that's
that
fine.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
As far as I can remember, but there is a lot of shot to the gut, shot to the head.
I'm very particular in my movies.
Fair enough.
I don't like Raid Redemption that much, but I like the Raid 2 a lot.
Oh, the girl with the hammer?
Good awesome.
Stuff. Oh, yeah. Like to see her and Thor get into a nice go around whack whack hammer fight.
Whereas the first film has that horrible thing they love in Asian cinema, which is the two brothers, one in the good side and one on the bad side.
I'll tell you, I haven't seen the first one.
And you're like,
I've only seen the second one.
You're like, corny! It's corny in Infernal Affairs.
I've only seen the
corny.
I've only seen the clay version of it, where someone recreated it in clay and did it all like in 5 minutes.
Wow!
And so just did all the
you got what you
yeah.
Wanted.
I was like, I get it.
But I mean, if you like fight scenes, it's a really good film,
right?
And the fight scenes are very good. But it's just in terms of story, I just when that happens in the movie, I'm just like, ugh.
Here's what I'll give though with the
sorry if I'm spoiling that movie for anybody.
Ooh.
It's only 10 years old.
Okay. Hey, we may spoil some of Logan later. We'll see what happens. So he's got John Wick tied up to the chair.
Yeah.
Now, in this kind of crazy world of myths and legends and whatever.
Yes.
I mean, because this is the thing. It's like, you know, anytime someone mentions John Wick, it's like, oh.
A wind blows.
Everyone just gives a little sigh and goes, you know, they're all real tough guys up until that point. Oh, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill whoever that son of a bitch is. What's his name? You tell me his name and I'll kill that motherfucker. John Wick. Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Yeesh. Okay, so this is a world where reputation matters.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's why you shoot him in the head right away.
No, you don't.
Why? Do you think if you talk to him, your reputation's going to rub off on you?
Yeah, because here's what it is. If you're basically, you know, the equivalent of the kingpin of crime.
Yeah.
You're this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to all your goons. The only reason your goons work for you is one, you pay them money, but everyone's got money. So if someone can pay them more money. The way you control these guys is you've got to control them with fear, and you've got to control them with you're king shit that's in charge.
Yeah.
And the way you can show them you're king shit that's in charge is when the super bad is here, you can taunt the super bad. It's like, hey, this guy ain't scared of the guy who kills the boogeyman. My boss is a tough guy. Not the boss that goes, blam, he's dead. I'm going to hide. It's like, that's no good. So you got to be Johnny Tuffenstein, right?
Well, you don't have to be. I don't mean run over there like Paul Lind. Or
okay, Charles Nelson Reilly. Paul
Lind.
Oh,
that was more of a Charles Nelson Reilly.
That's right.
I'm gonna why would you
that
do
was
like
more
that?
Goofy.
That was more goofy. I can only do goofy.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm the kingpin of crime. I'm gonna go over and shoot this guy in the head.
Oops, I slipped. Threw my gun to him. Oh, now this is a real clusterfuck.
Oh, well. Oh, yeah, it's
hey Goofy, did you kill him yet? What the fuck? Why did you get out of here? Did you monologue?
Oh, you got me there. I monologued a little
Blam!
Bit.
You stupid dog.
Is he a dog?
Yes, he's a dog. He's a goddamn dog. He used to be called Dippy Dog.
He's dog-ish.
He is a dog.
He's dog-ish.
So anyway, yeah, it's just you're trying to build up your tough guy reputation in front of your guys by doing this dramatic.
You know how you build.
It's
you know
all
how you build
drama
a,
with these mob guys
but,
in the movie.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
but,
all drama. They're all just like everything is like, come into my office. Sit down. I could get to the point, but I'm not going to. Ugh, all the drama, and it's fine. It's all that Godfather bullshit. You know, just get on with it. And by the way, all of you, just do regular work.
That's what he did. He got on with it. If you watch The Godfather, he doesn't waste his time. He doesn't monologue. He goes in the bathroom, grabs a gun, shoots a guy in the head, walks out of the restaurant. That's the end of it.
Yeah, but he's been ordered to do
baptizes
that.
Baptizes his kids?
Yeah, but he's
baptizes his baby?
He didn't.
He takes care of the whole thing.
No, he was told to do that, though.
No, he wasn't told to do that. He did it himself.
Well, he made the choice?
When he's during the scene where he kills Mo Green and all the rest of those people?
We take the cannoli scene, that scene you're talking about? Yeah, the toilet tank and the
gun? Oh, no, that's he's not all told to do it, but yeah, he's part of the, yes.
Well, you don't tell me there's no drama in The Godfather where you've got, you know, Marlon Brando chewing scenery for days, find the thing, doing the, maybe one day, maybe not someday, maybe in the future, maybe in the past, I will come to you in a time machine and you will do me a favor and I will say, you kill Hitler. And it's like, I don't know.
That's right.
Maybe in outer space. Maybe on Earth. I do not know. I may be reincarnated.
Maybe in Vietnam.
Yeah. I may say, you have to use your daughter in the third movie, and you'll go, no, I shouldn't. She's no good. It's like, she'll be a good director, but no, she's no good as an actress. You'll use her and ruin the movie. Ruin it. That's what'll happen. She's not great in it, but she doesn't ruin the movie.
Winona Ryder. She was supposed to play the role, and she dropped out at the last minute.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that would have been a better way to go, but depends what Winona Ryder you're getting.
You know what?
There's a lot of different eras of Winona Ryder.
Here's the thing. That movie, that movie's not great no matter what you do with it. Mm-hmm. You could have the reincarnation of the greatest actress in the world. Meryl Streep. She's not dead. Let's reincarnate her and put her into
a
clone of Meryl Streep playing the daughter of Al Pacino in Godfather 3. And I don't think that movie would be any better.
This is the dumbest thing in the world, but at the time...
What? Why what I just said wasn't?
No, oh, this is goodness. Dumber.
Okay.
At the end, okay, spoilers for Godfather 3. Mm. It ends with a character falling over, and then all these oranges are falling over on the ground. And then I really wanted someone to come in and just go, well, how do you like them apples? And someone goes, those are oranges. Ah, fuck. Okay, fine.
That's you. Then he says, aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
Yeah, that's it. I was going to do a different one. But you took all the thunder on that. That's fine. But like, aren't you sad you're a mob boss? But it's fine. There's so many different ones.
We have so much fun with The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun.
It is fun.
Yep.
They
got to put it in space someday so more people will be interested.
Still the only original and sequel to win the Oscar.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Godfather 1 and Godfather 2 both won Oscars in their years.
Oh, okay.
There you go. That's something. Because they're both really great films.
I'll give you.
Yeah.
Was 3 nominated for anything or was that just a complete...
I think the Razzies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It is rough. And I think... Yeah, I don't think they had anywhere to go with it. I think The Godfather 1 and 2 like pretty much sum it up perfectly. You don't need to go anywhere else. I mean, him sitting there Macbeth-like at the end of the film after, you know, killing his brother, you know, and, you know, he just, that's the end of this. That's the
now
end of the
I'm
story.
Now I'm just picturing if they went the full Rocky with this and they just went, let's just keep making them. What? It's Godfather 3, Godfather 4, Godfather 5, until you get to the point where it's like Godfather 8 and like Rocky, and then it gets really good.
Then there's a black kid who's trying to become the
Godfather.
That's right.
He becomes and it would act, that actually would work. that'd be a pretty good Godfather if you're going to do it, but you have to have all the shitty ones in between where the Russians try to take over, where Mr. T tries to take over, and go on.
Yeah.
One where he loses everything and he's got to become the mob boss of an alley. I mean, he has to fight a guy in an alley. Ugh, that one. The whole thing. So 4. Yay, Rocky, you win. Yay, hooray. Start with the 5th movie. You got horrific brain damage from this. It was terrible. That happy ending, we're pulling it away from you. No, terrible. You couldn't be worse off. Things are awful. You're fucked up for life. Oh, okay. I want to fight you. Okay. Fight. No, you'll die. It's like, no, you didn't. It's fine. Okay, next movie. Let's forget about that brain damage thing.
Mm.
If we get to Creed, we have totally forgot about that brain damage thing. That's, nah. But it was the main thing of your stupid movie, that he had this thing. Nope. Eh, who cares?
Does he have, a different illness in that film, though, doesn't he?
In which one?
In Creed.
In Creed?
Yeah. Hasn't he, like, got cancer
he's
or something?
He's got some. Yeah, he's got something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got, okay. He's got movie disease.
Yeah, movie disease.
Yeah, he's got Oscar movie disease. Are you okay? Yeah, I really need an Oscar. Yeah, that kind of business.
That's a terrible disease.
Yeah, it's a really terrible disease.
It strikes
disease.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Sometimes you
don't get an Oscar for it.
That's true. You posted an interesting article about acting.
I don't think so.
But on our Sneaky Dragon page.
That doesn't
page.
Sound like me.
No.
All right, go ahead.
And it was written by a person who was a play director. He directed, I guess, Shakespearean plays. And he was just sort of talking about what makes a good actor.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting article. And I like the fact that...
I more skimmed it.
You skimmed it.
I skimmed it. So why don't you lay out what you liked about it?
Well, I can't remember. I'm sorry because it's been a couple of weeks. But he just went through like what he looks for, like authenticity, surprise. So surprise me. But make it real. So it has to be real. Like, because he talked about Jack Nicholson as someone that doesn't really play a different character. Like in a movie, you pretty much get Jack Nicholson in a role. But his way of responding in the film is always different and always surprising, but true to the character or true to the situation that he's in.
And folks, as is our want on the show, we try to guess what vehicle is going by the siren. Did you think that was an ambulance? Do you think it was a hazmat? Do you think it was a police car? Did you think it was a fire truck? Please. Oh, got that little bit at the end too. All right. Ready to guess? All right, shout your answer as loud as you can, no matter where you are. Shout it super loud. So you're not shouting it. Seriously, shout it. Okay, good. The answer was undercover police car.
Yeah, it was a ghost car. SUV. Yeah. Those are kind of neat.
So if you got that right, treat yourself to a little dance.
Mm.
Just give yourself a little dance. And if you got it wrong, hang your head in shame.
Did you say take a drink?
Oh, you can also take a drink.
Yeah, you have to take a drink. That's the whole purpose of the game.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Okay, you don't have to.
You have to take a drink. I'm going to take a drink right now. A drink of my horrible water.
Oh, yeah. Dave is off the sugar.
But thank you for the water.
Dave is off the sugar right now, and so he's drinking water angrily.
Misery water.
Just pounding it back, like just so mad.
I can't pound back water. It doesn't have any flavor. There's no purpose of drinking it.
So Jack Nicholson, let's look at something.
Yep.
So let's look at A Shining. Let's look at A Few Good Men. Let's look at A Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay, let's. Well, A Little Shop of Horrors. I saw it in the movie theater. When was that? That was like in the 80s, the early 80s?
No. I'm talking Little Shop of Horrors in the 60s. That was the one that
Jack Nicholson. Oh, that's when he was in. Oh, I have never seen that movie.
I know. I was trying to think of the earliest Jack Nicholson film that
Five Easy Pieces or Head. Head. Easy Rider.
Right.
And Five Easy Pieces was his first starring role.
He plays the cool guy. He plays the relaxed cool guy who seems like he can take anything and then gets pushed too far.
Okay.
And then you see where that push too far. Sometimes the push too far
leads to somewhere positive. I would say different than that. In Five Easy Pieces, he plays a tense. A person who's incredibly frustrated with his life, but can't deal with his life, and so keeps running away from it.
But what film is he not tense in? You know, I mean, like, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, he's tense.
In terms of endearment, he plays the character that's pretty.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Pretty much just like kind of a lovable guy who just kind of comes into this woman's life.
Or he's being the devil in The Witches of Eastwick or some bullshit. But by that point, he's like being Jack Nicholson. Like he's full Jack Nicholson in movies. And like, just do the impression that people do of you, but you do it and you do it in a movie. And that's, you know, sort of after Batman, that's where that went.
Mm.
You know, and everything since that has been kind of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's films where like... Is it Pritzi's Honor that he's very good in that movie? I think.
Was that after Batman?
Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong there.
Are you thinking Bucket List?
I've never seen. Never seen Bucket List. Sorry. There's movies I haven't seen.
Seen Cash in the Check?
That movie is on my bucket list of movies I don't want to see, mostly because it's called Bucket List.
So they're saying. So he's saying surprise, genuine surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But authenticity as well. So a feeling that what this person's going through. And what he admires are actors who are able to listen to other actors in a scene.
That's huge.
So they don't look like they're like thinking their next line or trying to, you know, when's my cue or whatever.
Or mouth in the other person's line.
People do that?
That's just a really cheesy actor thing that, you sometimes see in like plays and especially amateur theaters.
Okay.
They actually start lip
syncing. They can't help themselves.
While they're talking.
They can't help
themselves. The other person is talking like they're waiting for their line.
Yeah. That is a bad thing. Yeah. So as someone who's a great listener, he used as examples. Gosh darn it! Sorry, I can't remember now. But he just had it. And then in terms of bad actors, he did hack on Tom Cruise a little bit. But his complaint about Tom Cruise wasn't that he was a bad actor. He said he's not a bad actor, but he's not a surprising actor.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do things in a role that make you go, oh. You know, he just does what he needs to do, and that's what he gets. He said, beside Eyes Wide Shut, there's not really any roles where you're kind of like, oh, that was interesting what he did there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the reason that Eyes Wide Shut, his performance is interesting is because Stanley Kubrick made him do scenes like 70 times and wore him down to the point where he changed what he was doing in order to try to figure out, how do I get out of this so many takes, you know? And then Stanley Kubrick would choose like the oddest takes to create this weird tone to the film. But the guy he really hacked on was John Wick himself, Keanu Reeves, who he said, is this an actor that in no way do you ever feel like you're not just hearing someone reciting lines back to you that from a page? There's never a time where there's any emotional content in what he's saying back to you.
But John,
he's good. You can like his movies.
Yeah.
But that's different. Liking The Matrix or liking John Wick is different than thinking, oh, what a good actor he is.
Yeah, maybe he's not a put it in quotes good actor, but if you want the actor to serve the concept of the film, he is one of the best guys, I'd say.
Well, he's an actor. I think that he's not going to ruin your movie.
No,
he's going to serve your movie to a point. He's going to ruin Dracula.
Yeah,
he's not very good in Dracula. You're not going to pretend to me that you think he does a good job.
Dracula's a
it's an interesting film.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's an interesting movie.
It's a director going.
It's a director having fun making a movie about movies.
He's having a crazy.
It's a movie about movies.
It's a crazy banana film anyway. Not, so like a guy coming in with a bad accent, that doesn't take me out of it because there's nothing to really get into it. You're just watching it going, oh, that's neat. Oh, that's cool. But you're not like, ooh.
Yeah.
You're just like, what a good effect that shadow on the wall is. But you know, everyone's chewing scenery like they're fucking beavers.
Okay.
So
I'll grant you that. Yeah. It's not a performance film. There's very few good performances by anyone in that film, except for Gary Oldman.
But let's take Keanu Reeves and here's an example. So there's The Matrix and he plays kind of that void character that, you know, But you buy him through the whole thing, yeah. You know, when he's hiding in his office and he's running, like you buy the franticness of, you know, he's worried and what have you, like mm-hmm. you buy,
that's true.
You know, that he's scared.
Yeah.
He doesn't do multiple levels, but you buy this, what he is at the time
mm-hmm.
in Speed. You buy what he is in the time and
yeah.
it works.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what would it be like with a better actor? I don't know. Let's see Speed 2. And like, I get that.
Is Jason Patrick a better actor?
I think so. Jason okay. Patrick has done some really good acting okay. in movies. Yeah. Okay. And he's doing a little bit of level. And he's doing stuff, and it's like, mm-hmm. no, you got to just play it straight, bro.
Yeah.
You're doing too much.
Okay.
It's like he just does enough and takes it, yeah. takes it through it, and you're okay.
That's why you like Steven Seagal so much.
Yeah, even something like Bill and Ted. It's a big dumb character, but mm-hmm. like you know, this it works.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna go
through a whole bunch of Keanu Reeves movies and go like, yeah,
he's not going to. But here's the thing:
I think he's not that he's going to ruin your movie. I think he's going to serve your movie by putting your focus on the concept of the movie
okay.
more than him. He
yeah.
will take himself out of it so that you're enjoying the big broad concept of what you're.
But
seeing.
would you disagree with me that he's not going to make a movie better than it? You know what I mean? Like, there's actors who can be in a movie that would have been okay, but because this actor is in it, it elevates the film.
No, I would say the thing that he brings, and it's weird me saying it in this way, the dullness, almost the you know, he's just effective enough.
Yeah.
I think that makes your movie better, because what do you want your movie to be? The Matrix, we want to introduce this broad world.
Yeah.
If you had Tom Cruise in that,
yeah.
who is a better actor than Keanu mm-hmm. Reeves,
yeah.
it would distract you, it would take you away, you would not yeah. notice the other shit around, you would be focusing on Tom Cruise mm-hmm. too much.
Yeah.
Same with Speed.
Okay.
Same with
But it's interesting to me
John
that
John Wick. You
it's
know?
Interesting, but all these movies are high concept films
yeah.
that aren't about acting. They're just about a sort of a performance,
right?
Not an acting performance.
If you want to sell an idea mm-hmm. rather than a character piece,
sure.
he's the guy that you shove into it, and he will let you put the focus on the idea without distracting from the idea. And at the end of it, you'll go, oh, and you get very iconic movies with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. But I just think, okay, this is a movie that's author uses an example, and I'll use an example. So a film like Kramer versus Kramer.
Okay.
Now, I think that movie, without Dustin Hoffman in it and Meryl Streep, would be a boring film.
Yep.
But I think that their acting elevates that movie an incredible amount. That when you watch it, it's a very human and interesting film because of their performances in it,
mm-hmm.
and it makes you interested in them. And I think that I'm not even saying Keanu Reeves in that film, but I'm saying if you replace those actors in that film,
right.
you wouldn't have as good a movie. That they are the ones that really bring it to life.
If you put a young, The Graduate era Dustin Hoffman into a movie like Speed or something like that, yeah. though, you yeah. know, or John Wick or
yeah,
whatever
it
you
work.
Do, yeah, it wouldn't work because he's doing too many levels.
Yeah,
and you're trying to read what's he really thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you're seeing Keanu Reeves, I get what he's thinking.
Yeah,
that guy's scared. Oh, he's mad.
Yeah.
They killed his dog. That guy's fucking angry.
Yeah,
he's scared. He wants to stop the bus. I get it. So I can now enjoy him stopping the bus, but not thinking, what's he really? What's the subtext here?
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue with you. I do like Keanu Reeves. And
yeah.
I'm just talking about what this guy was saying.
Oh, okay.
Don't attack me. Attack him. Fly to England and punch him in the nose.
I know. I'm trying to like actually look up Keanu Reeves movies now and see if I'm full of shit or not. If he's you know, he had that time period where he was going out and he was doing Hamlet and stuff to try and prove you know that he could.
What about that film with Al Pacino, The Devil's Apprentice or The Devil's
yeah,
Disciple
but the,
or something?
But the thing about that, Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate.
But the thing about that film is you had. That was all about, what's his name, Al Pacino, being Al Pacino at his hammiest.
Yeah.
So you can't have a second actor chewing scenery with him and okay. fighting him on it.
So you want a blank.
So you need the dull guy going, hey, what are you doing? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm doing this. I was like, okay. And then you got, you know, it's Charlize Theron, right? And she's she's doing the more realistic
okay.
suffering through it and
yeah.
actually realistic acting
yeah.
and reacting to stuff. So that's fine. But yeah, he's just the, what? What are you doing? Oh, you're the devil? Oh, come on.
Dude.
No. But you know what he feels like through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like you read it all on his face immediately. Okay, John Wick. Oh, yeah, Point Break.
Strange things are happening at the circuit court.
Right. You don't need a lot of,
yeah.
You know, subtext in Point Break. You know, it's just like, he's a cop. He's going undercover as a surfer. He's into the surf and the thing.
Okay.
Oh, he loves this guy. He doesn't want to arrest him.
I have.
What's he got to do?
I have sinfully never seen that film.
That's not bad. Yep, Bill and Ted. What else we got here? Knock Knock. I don't know that film. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we have to preface all this.
Yes.
By saying that Keanu Reeves' first acting job was one that he and I were both up for.
Okay.
It came down to him or me.
And he was better.
Got it.
He was better than you.
Actually, let's go with, you know what? No. What I was told, maybe it was bullshit, was they went with him because he's in Toronto.
Oh,
and you're in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And they'd have to fly you out. Yeah. So, you know, it's just easier to use him.
Yeah.
But they loved you both and they really liked you. But, you know, we'll use you for something else later. Then the show got canceled. But...
You know, and he never looked back.
Right. Oh, he's also, he's doing all these, you know, 47 Ronin things.
That's
a
terrible movie.
It's a terrible movie, but he doesn't get in the way of the movie.
No, but like, he doesn't elevate it.
You don't want a character
You don't go, whoa, he was really good in that movie.
Yeah, Tom Cruise wouldn't make that film better. It's just, you know, it's all the concept. Oh, Day the Earth Stood Still. Of course, he's a mindless alien type thing. He's Gort, for crying out loud. My Own Private Idaho did a good job in that. Again, just kind of a guy, little void, but, you know, it's broad concept, weird film. You know, he does not get in the way of the movie, makes the movie better. Lake House. Yeah, these are all big concept films. Yeah, nah, I'm all for him. But sorry about Dracula, him ruining Dracula.
I realize.
Oh, River's Edge. Did find a job in River's Edge.
I realize now why. Well, but he's okay.
When you saw River's Edge, did you not like River's Edge?
Yeah, but I like the Crispin Glover character. That's the best character in the
Right, because he doesn't get in the way of him, because that guy's the scenery chewer.
Yeah,
so you know,
the best part of the movie,
he's like, hey man, you want this guy going, huh?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want
you don't want I agree. You have to balance your cast and mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves is a good he's like that neutral between pH and whatever he's
you're right. He if you do like chemistry, you need that kind of base know, to have everyone bounce off of, and he's not gonna get in the way. He'll be fine. Still, again, it came down to me and him, and he got the part, and so I got a podcast.
So
and he's got John Wick too. I'm fine with it. It's
you're
all
fine with it. Your ego can easily take the idea that you lost to
a
bad actor.
What the part was,
yeah,
it is available on YouTube. It's an episode of Hanging In. Yeah, as a CBC show about guidance
counselors.
Put a
cat in the tree.
That's right. And every episode, someone would go up and go, hey, give up. And you'd go, no.
And then Hang in there, cat.
And then they do it again in French because it was a Canadian show.
Oh, okay.
Non.
Non.
Mais non. Givez-vous up, eh?
Hang in là. I don't know how you say those things. They don't say hang in there.
Speaking of
they have their own.
Speaking of French things.
Speaking of French. French fries?
Oh, those are good.
They're good.
When I went to see John Wick 2. Before John Wick 2, they had a series of trailers.
Oh.
Now, it's nice because I'm going kind of the art house theater, so I don't get a lot of perfume ads.
Well, here's the thing nowadays.
Oh, what's up? What's up with nowadays?
Is when you get a movie at your movie theater, the trailers come with a movie. It's not like in the old days when the movie theater would advertise things it was bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, whoever made the film is advertising movies that they're putting out.
When I go to the art house cinema, I usually see maybe about 3 or 4 trailers beforehand, and I see no ads, and I quite enjoy that.
That's very nice.
And then when I go to the mainstream movie theater, I'm sitting there for almost a half hour watching ads for Coke and everything and cars, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I do want to buy a car. Wait, maybe I want to buy that car instead.
You are easily manipulated.
Angered.
Oh,
I got
angered.
Here. I got here early.
Yeah.
I got here early, and now I'm
for
like
time
here
play.
Now I'm like a half hour earlier than early.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. But before the movie starts, there's an ad for a Good Cop, Bond Cop 2.
Oh, is that coming out? Do or 2?
I don't know. Whatever you want it to be, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Did you see the first one? Because I made it like 15 minutes deep.
And then
bailed hard.
I haven't. No.
And it was like I turned to, I forget who I was with at the time, but I think I turned to them and went, I don't live forever. I can't waste my time on this. And then that was the end of that.
Yeah. It's not something I've ever wanted to wassen either.
Yeah, Colm Fiore?
Colm Fiore, yeah.
Colm Fiore?
Yeah.
Our favorite Trudeau that isn't actually, like, well, listen, we have a Trudeau who's running things right now.
Yeah.
But his father was also a Trudeau. And Colm played Trudeau on TV and did
also played Glenn Gould.
Yeah, he played a lot of
Canadian stuff. Pianist.
He also fought Vin Diesel in the last Riddick movie. And I went like, hey, he's fighting Trudeau. But he's in there and he's more badass this time and they're doing all this stuff. And I was watching the trailer and just went, well, this is fine. This is going to make money in Quebec because films make money in Quebec.
Okay.
So you could just make these kind of films forever in Quebec and you're fine.
Yeah.
But ugh. That was my thought.
That's your feeling.
I've never heard anyone here in the West or in any, I've never heard anyone period.
In Western Canada, you mean?
Western Canada. Yeah. frankly, anywhere. I'll even go Montreal. Okay. I've never heard anyone go, you know what I loved? Good Cop, Bon Cop.
Yeah.
Anyone.
No.
Boy. Writers Guild parties where you praise
where the writers of Good Cop, Bon Cop are at writers party. You never hear anyone say, you know what I liked? Good Cop, Bon Cop.
Yeah. This just feels like a bunch of bran that you're obligated to eat for your own, for health reasons. But it's like, ugh, what are you doing?
By the way, folks, in case you didn't know, the title of the movie is Good Cop, Good Cop. Yeah. If you translate the bon, which is, I don't know.
Clever?
No. Yeah. It's not. It's putting words together in front of each other.
Why can't we have a John Wick? Why can't we do that? Why can't we have that kind of, hey, let's just do action. Let's just do, let's go do it. Just full wall-to-wall action.
Well, why can't we
go to town?
Why can't we go back to the days when groups of dentists could invest their money for tax deductions into movies? And so we could have like a nice low-level movie industry again.
Well, was that like mostly horror movies though? Or was that...
yeah, there's horror movies. There's Meatballs.
There's also Meatballs.
There was Porky's.
Yeah.
There was... there were horror movies. I mean, people wanted to make money. So,
what's stopping that now?
Well, the tax... There's no tax loophole, so that they can't do that now.
There was a tax loophole before.
Yeah, at that time there was... It wasn't a tax loophole. It was like a tax... It was an incentive for them to invest into the arts. And so one of those was you could give David Cronenberg money and say, hey, go make some crazy stuff, you nut. But instead, then the government went, you know what's happening? People are investing into movies with this money. Let's close this particular...
I wasn't familiar with that. That was the thing.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, that stinks. Boo.
It stinks all over.
Boo on that, I say.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, we did get some garbage. But we also got, you know, all of David Cronenberg's early films came out of that time period. Plus one of my favorite films, Black Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called. One of my favorite films, whose title I can't remember.
Yeah,
Black Christmas. The
Margot Kidder
and Keira D'Elia and a British actress.
He's pointing at me right now aggressively. It makes me feel
SCTV lady.
Andrew Martin.
Yeah, she's in it too.
Okay.
Why can't I remember names today? Because who's the director of that movie? He also directed Porky's and Christmas Tale or Christmas Story.
Oh, I was going to say, no, it's not Ivan Reitman.
No, it's not Ivan Reitman.
But though Ivan Reitman has directed Andrea Martin in like
Cannibal Girls, that's another movie that was made under this particular tax thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't pull the name of that director.
Bob Clark.
All right, there you are.
There you go. He did other movies. He did some other horror films that are good too. That one about the boy, the brother who returns from Vietnam and is different. It's a very good movie.
Okay.
It's really good. Yeah, there's some like great films that came out of that time period.
That feels like a good thing for Canadian films to be doing. Those low-budget comedies, low-budget horror.
Yeah.
And we don't need Kevin Smith
making these things in our country. His stupid Hoser trilogy.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Doing it in Snowface.
Blah.
Yeah. It's like, that's not where we... Okay, it's fine. It's hard to get mad about anyone representing you. And it's like, apparently, you know, it's obviously done with love. But it feels like, you know, Quentin Tarantino, when he does the blaxploitation movies, you're just like, yeah, okay, I get you. I get that you like those things. But now he's doing it... Now it's Kevin Smith doing it with, like, Canucksploitation. You're like, eh, okay. It's great. And the shop's called, get this, From A, E-H, to Z. Yeah.
What is it called, sir? What?
From A, E-H,
oh, the shop.
To
okay.
Z. And that's the store the girls work at.
Well,
it's fine.
Yeah.
It's one of those where you just want to pan over to someone just going, shrugging their shoulders. All right. Okay. It's a good holder joke until we get something better.
But when you hear the actresses talking, you can tell they're American. They're not Canadians.
Yeah, who cares, though?
Well, you know, supposed to be Canadian. Why wouldn't you have Canadian actors?
Because you're going to do this one, eh? You're going to go all the way there.
Don't go to Letterkenny.
You're going
to
go totally. Well, you know what? Letterkenny's doing pretty good.
It's doing fine. But, I mean, it's a rural.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to a rural Northern Ontario accent. There are other accents in Canada.
Okay, let's hear them.
Other accents?
Yeah.
A maritime one?
Yeah.
Just go into the bar, boy.
All right, there. All right.
How about a Western Canadian accent? I'll do a Western Canadian one for you.
You want to go out to the patio? All
right. Here's my Western Canadian accent. I can do it quite well. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Edrick.
Bit thick.
Sorry, I put it on a bit too thick.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
You don't sound like you smoked enough weed, man.
Dude.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Look at these housing prices. Oh, the bike almost hit me. When do they put this lane in? Oh, thanks, Mayor Moonbeam.
That's very specific to one location.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. You're not representing...
Okay.
All of the Lower Mainland.
I'll be another city in the Lower Mainland.
Yeah, sure.
Guess where I am.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, look at all these university students and elderly people around here. Ugh, this is almost as bad as Vancouver. Very close to it, but not quite.
Yeah.
Well, I better get that last ferry. Where am I?
Last ferry?
Yeah, I'm Victoria.
Oh, okay.
Catch a ferry.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Okay, sorry. Yeah, you lost me in the ferry. At first, I was all. Oh, okay.
Oh, did you think it was Victoria? And yeah. Then you lost me a ferry. Did you think I was Nanaimo?
Well, is this because when you said
ferry, then Nanaimo would be. Oh boy, all these Hell's Angels are really getting under my skin.
Well, because if you're really from Victoria, you'd know that the ferry sails out of Sydney, not out of Victoria.
Yeah, I know. But
it's like a 45-minute drive from the ferry to get to Victoria.
Well, you're gonna get on.
Everyone knows that.
I know, but you get on the bus.
You just lost me with the.
You get on the bus, man. What do you mean drive? You're not driving. You got to get on the bus.
But the bus is
then
even
you
longer.
Walk on, and then it's way cheaper. What are you, Mr. Moneybags, taking your car across? Oh, Johnny Cash.
I know that is a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Take the bus, you fool. What's wrong with you?
Yes, I've done that too. The bus is a better way to go.
But first, I'm going to this wax museum. Disturbing.
No, you go to Ditch Records. That's the first thing you do.
Sure.
It's a good record store.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ditch.
Woo! Hey, let's go to that street that's got three comic book stores on it.
That's the one that has like Ditch Records on it.
Yeah, of course.
It's got Legends Comics. What's the other ones? Legends?
Yellow Jacket.
Okay.
It's Yellow Jacket, Legends, and another one. And then there's like Cherry Bomb, which is like a toy store, but it's got records as well and stuff.
That's a great road. That's like one. That's the reason that road is great is because it's just right on the cusp of being destroyed by development.
It'll be gone.
Probably gone now.
It is so.
Let's face it.
I know. It's so great and it's so gone. Yeah. We went to a restaurant yesterday. Went to a Korean restaurant because we were shopping for toys for my sister-in-law's godchild, or not godchild, but related. Anyway, it's in that area.
You're looking for toys.
It's toys for...
You're buying them for yourself. Left of these elaborate excuses.
Anyway, so there's a Lego party. Got to buy some Legos. Then we're like, hey, you know, we pay for parking
here. We're going to have a Lego party tonight. Okay, go on.
All right. So... gonna make them tight. What? I don't know. Don't have the instructions. What the fuck do we do? So we paid for parking. We're like, what can we eat around here that we don't have to pay for parking again? Because we're cheap.
Of course.
And then we saw that there was a Korean place across the street, Korean food and sushi. And it was like, well, you know, if the Korean food's no good, we got sushi. Get in there. There ain't no sushi. Like, I don't know what that lie was. But we went in and it was really old-timey. It was like old-timey big wooden booths. And it was really like something where you realize this has been here since the early 70s at the earliest. Well, no, it could be earlier. It could be like the 60s. Like this is so old. And it's like the only reason this still exists is it always has existed. And it was really good and old timey.
Uh-huh.
And it just went, this will be gone soon.
Yeah.
There's no way this will survive.
No.
This is gone. And so you like.
Was it a one or two story building?
What's that?
Was it a one or two story building?
No, I think it's just a one story building.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a drag because it really was it's one of those places where you get way too much meat.
Mm.
It's all mixed together, so there's a lot of blood that shouldn't be on that. Ooh. That's on this, that's on that, but it's fine. But it all gets burned.
Oh, I see.
At the thing.
Yeah.
But when the lady then takes the scissors and cuts up the one thing of meat, it's like you got chicken blood on those scissors. So now we really got to cook the shit out of this.
Mm.
Okay. Okay, it's just sloppy enough that you go, you're old timey.
Yeah.
And again, the last time I
would never even consider all those things you're talking about there.
Well, cross contamination is something you really should consider.
I never think about it.
Well, it's dangerous.
Apparently.
Chicken blood is not the best thing to, raw chicken blood, not the best thing to put in your body. You want to cook that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
well, I imagine so.
So you get the multiple types of meat, way too much meat.
Yeah.
For, my wife and sister-in-law, they got the two-person thing and I got this other separate thing. But I ended up having to join in because there was no way this could be eaten. It was enormous amounts of meat. And then crazy vegetables you've never seen before in your life.
Mm.
Random seaweeds and kimchis and odd beans.
Love kimchi.
Do you love kimchi?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is a surprise to me. When did you get introduced to kimchi?
There was a Korean restaurant, strangely enough, in Langley when Lisa and I were younger.
Yeah.
Kind of midway between Langley City and going towards Aldergrove. And I guess it had been a Japanese restaurant at some point because you went in and they had little booths that you would sit down like on low benches.
Got to take your shoes off?
I don't think they asked for that, but they had these small with the sliding doors. It was very quaint, and we would go there every once in a while and get the hot pot and all the rest. It's very good. Yeah, so I do like that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, kimchi is something.
I know you're going to say, did your dad introduce it to you when he went and lived there for 6 months when he was in the army? No. He never ate anything off base. He did not try any food at all when he was there. One guy did, and he got so sick. He was just had diarrhea for days. So I never went off the base. I just ate what they gave me, mostly beans on toast, which we called shit in a shingle. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for that story. And also for your narrow view of the world.
Oh, that's a drag.
Yeah,
that's
why would you drag. Go all the way across the world and not try go out and see?
Like, I understand kimchi is pretty intense.
It is.
If you don't know what you're getting,
yeah.
that's a rough ride.
If you have a runny nose, you'll have a runnier nose.
Yeah.
If you go in there without a runny nose, you will still have a runny
nose.
And
apparently, that one guy got the runs from it, too.
Yeah.
That's not true.
He had a runny nose and a runny bum.
Yeah, there was something else going on with that situation. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
There's stuff. The one guy
there may have been some alcohol involved, right?
Yeah. You don't know what he did. Totally, there was alcohol involved.
You don't know what he did.
I do know what he did. He went and he had, yeah, you're right. He had bad booze with his food.
Yeah.
Came here, blamed the food.
Yeah.
Kept drinking later for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But, you know, avoided the kimchi.
Never have kimchi. I'll never have that again.
Yeah. That's exactly the case.
Because when my dad was there, they would make the kimchi and they would bury it in the ground in earthenware pots.
That is how you
and
make
let
kimchi.
It, and let it ferment.
That is. That's the
and
kimchi.
Yeah, that was, and to him, that was terrifying, I guess.
Well, what year was this that he was there?
Early 60s.
Yeah, I mean, everything's terrifying,
yeah,
right?
Because when he ended his service, when his service was over, or tour was over, whatever, they offered him the opportunity to start training, do some helicopter training, and then become a instructor in Vietnam, instructing the South Vietnamese army there. And my dad said, no thanks, I did my service, and now I'm done. So then that was it.
I wonder if he's ever eaten Vietnamese food here.
No.
Just give him one of the sandwiches. The sandwiches are fine.
Yeah,
he liked the sandwiches.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
By the way, they have up the street from here, they have apparently the best Vietnamese sandwiches.
Oh.
Just
really?
Always ranked of all the... Yeah, one day we got to do a little of that. That's too bad. That's too bad, you know?
Yeah, it seems strange, isn't it?
But again, the 60s, I mean, we still had tons of restaurants. If you see pictures of Vancouver, then it's all these, you know, white lunch counters. And it's like, listen, we guarantee there will not be any Chinese food here. I know you're worried that you're going to order a hot dog and someone's going to slop a little chow mein on there. I guarantee to you.
Yeah. But that's weird because...
Can I have a fork? There's your chopsticks. Oh, I got fooled again. Damn it. I got fooled. My milkshake's full of rice. Oh, it's all these Chinese foods sneaked in my dish.
It's interesting because I remember when we were kids, my parents taking us to, I think it was Ho Ho's, the Chinese restaurant in Chinatown here.
That sounds about right.
And it was a famous, a landmark restaurant. And when they were younger, when they were teenagers or young adults.
It's a famous Chinese Christmas-themed restaurant.
Is it Christmas themed?
For Ho-Ho's,
sorry, I missed that.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Ho-Ho-Ho's.
Yeah,
Ho-Ho-Ho's. That's a completely different, restaurant. Yeah.
Restaurant. This one has tons of little chocolate cake with cream in it.
Okay.
They would go there like after football games. The gang would pile into the car and they'd all drive down to Ho-Ho's or Ho's restaurant. I can't remember. Maybe it was just Ho's. Maybe I'm adding too many Ho's to this. But anyhow.
Well, Ho-Ho is actually like... Ho-ho means you're doing very well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're asking, ne ho ma, how are you?
Yeah.
And you go, ho-ho. Ho-ho means very well, but also very well in a way that you are now financially quite well.
Okay.
In fact, when I was learning Cantonese, the instructor would slap his wallet when you say it. It's just like, ne ho ma, ho-ho. you're wealthy. Good for you. Weird that you're bragging about that. Feel like I should mug you now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it could have been different. It could have been either.
Yeah. I think it was Ho-Ho's. But yeah, so we went, they took us there, and it was a very Chinese restaurant. Like not...
How Chinese was it?
Well, not North American Chinese, if you know what I mean, right? Like, so there wasn't like egg foo young and those sort of things. It was more actual Chinese food. And
you're saying chicken feet. When I hear that, I think chicken feet.
Yeah, maybe so. I can't remember. But it was hard for us as kids to eat there because we were just like, what?
Yeah.
Is this stuff? But my parents thought it was great. And so it's just weird to me that they would eat there. Mm-hmm. You know, they were used to that, and that was okay. But you go to North Korea, forget this kimchi shit. Garbage. That's just weird.
Here's what I'm betting happened with your folks, though, was there was like some other people they knew were going there.
Yeah,
they didn't want to seem like squares.
No,
they
that's
went,
true.
They got it. It's like, oh, this is the hip food. All right, I got it.
That's right. It's probably the sushi of its day.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm down with it.
You're right.
Here we go.
You're right.
You know what helps you to enjoy that type of food is if, as a young man, is if there is a girl that you like who is interested in that type of food.
Oh.
Then you will start to like that type of food.
It's amazingly quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I learned to like pizza.
That exotic food. Just kidding. Otherwise, to this day, you would not be ordering pizza.
I would not eat pizza.
Was that right? Did you?
No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
I was an early adopter of pizza.
But your wife did not.
No, she didn't have pizza till she was a teenager. She did not like it. Because she grew up in a family with parents who
ate flat food.
Well, they ate very British food. Mm-hmm. They did not eat a lot of flavorful food. So she didn't, like when I grew up, we would have tacos and things like that, right? You know, mm-hmm. and spaghetti. And they didn't. Like all those kind of foods were not, I don't know, spaghetti, but I might be exaggerating there. But yeah, I think I said, like when I was talking about my dinner there last, like when mom would cook for us, like if we had, even if we had lasagna, she would still have mashed potatoes with it. Because mm-hmm. you'd never would have a dinner without mashed potatoes.
Of course,
that's crazy. So yeah, it's just it was just interesting. So yeah, so Lisa was and Lisa is not a she has very set ways in with food, and she'll say oh, I don't like that food. It gives me a headache. Mm-hmm. My daughters have now learned to say, Mom, have you ever tried that food? Well, no, but I know it will give me a headache. So yeah, it's interesting.
So you can have some pasta with some ground aspirin on top, like Parmesan.
Yeah. Oh, she likes pasta fine. I mean,
of course she does. Everyone likes pasta.
She eats pizza and things now. I mean, like those. That's when she was a little kid that, you know, she had to like on her own go out into this world and explore food, which is difficult when you've not done that. So
I still haven't done the chicken feet. I've had that recommended to me so often, but you know, I'm still that jerk who just won't go for the chicken feet.
Once again, you only live so long.
That's true. Then I have to go, boy, I really put my foot in my mouth. Huh? Is that right? Disrespectful? Disrespectful to the animal? I agree. Fair enough.
So I heard you went and saw a movie. Oh, actually, before I talk about that.
Speaking of segues.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump off the chicken feet thing right away. I just want to say, this past weekend, I was doing title cards. I was catching up on title cards.
You were really cranking them out.
I'm trying to keep... I still have ones I'm behind
Chaplin
on.
Chaplin and modern whatever problems and getting in the old factory.
Yeah, Modern Times, you think?
Modern Times, sorry about that. Modern Problems is a Chevy Chase movie. What am I thinking
not
about?
Not as good as Modern Times.
I think he's psychic.
Modern Times is my favorite Charlie Chaplin film. And it was done during the sound era, but it's still a silent film. Anyway, not important. This weekend, it
meant a whole bunch of people were just in the audience going, turn it up! Turn it up! Can't understand... But okay, last weekend,
I was doing a Seth parody cover of his book, It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken. And so I was going to do this parody, and so I wanted to use like a kind of a brush that he would use. Now, my brushes are terrible brushes. They're not terrible brushes. They're good brushes, I think. But they're like not brushes that if you told another cartoonist that you use these brushes, they'd be like, or whatever reaction, like kind of like, why would you use those brushes? They're called Robert Simmons. And they're very simple. They're kind of a cheapish brush, and they're very simple. And they don't have like a great point on them. They hold very little ink. Like there's all kinds of negatives about them. But I really like how they work. Like I really like to use them. They're very comfortable for me to use. And I think the reason they're comfortable for me to use is because I never really learned how to use a brush. Mm. And I basically use a brush as if I'm working a pencil. And so it works that way for me.
Yeah, I'd say I'm similar when I ink. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've always heard great things about the Winsor Newton Series 7. And I heard a lot about Winsor Newton when I was growing up, and I would buy Winsor Newton brushes. But I buy ones, it turns out I wasn't buying the right ones. I was buying like the half sable or the semi, some fake, some real, you know, they weren't like the true, the Series 7 or like the moi, the Picasso of the paintbrush or whatever. So I paid a lot of money. I didn't even know they had them in the store until one day they took them out from under the counter and they had them displayed on top of the counter. And I was walking, it was an Opus, the art store, and I was walking past and I saw this little kind of fanned out display of Winsor Newton Series 7. I was like, oh, they have these. So I bought one.
How much are they?
They're like $40.
Okay.
I know they're not crazy, but you know, they're expensive. Like, you know, the Simmons brushes are like 20 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I bought one and I brought it home and I thought, okay, I'm going to ink a picture with it. I'm going to do my next title card with this wonderful Series 7. Blah! There's like ink everywhere. This is like a mess. I couldn't control it. It's too long and it's got this weird, like, super pointy point to it.
Yeah.
And it holds an incredible amount of ink in the brush. Like it's like super fat in the center.
Yeah.
And then it's pointy. But I'm trying to use it with the way I ink. Oh, it was not good. It was not pretty. So, but I decided this weekend, because I was going to do this Seth thing, I'm like, I'm going to try and do like a real Seth. I didn't really succeed in it, but I'm going to try and do a real Seth with, because he does a very loose, fat line with a lot of, you know, thickness and thinnesses to it. And I'm going to get this down and blah, blah, blah. So I blew up, or I didn't blow, but I, you know, I did the, my roughs for, you know, on the computer. And then when I printed them off, I printed them bigger. Like I printed them. So basically I had to like tape two pieces of 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper together with each tier of the drawing. Mm. And then I did it that large because I was just so worried about this brush. And then I'd use the Series 7 brush, and it was better, but it was still very difficult. I can't say that I learned much, but I did learn.
I thought it was a good looking title card though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. But it was interesting. It's just that whole brush. I've always used brushes. I've never been much of a pen guy because I'm impatient. And what's nice about brushes, you can like, you know, throw a bunch of ink down and work around, and then like a minute later, like move your whole hand across what you've just done without smearing it across the page. Like if you do that with pen, forget about it. You've just like put like crow's feet across with your hand across the page, you know, and oh, it's so depressing to do that. A long while back, I did Charlotte's Web with Sneaky Dragon as Wilbur, and then it said Sneaky Dragon in the web.
Yeah.
And I did that with a pen. And my first attempt, I smeared everything all over the page. And I was just like, start again. I cannot, you know. People are like, oh, just finish it and just use Photoshop to fix it. And I was like, oh, it's a mess. Like, it's not even fun to draw on it now. It's just like an ugly, blotchy thing. Like, it's ugly. Who wants to work on this now? I'm done. So I threw that one out and I redid it all. But it's difficult because you got to be thinking all the time, like, oh, I got to flip the page around and do it upside down now and work here. And I noticed watching Man Ben that there's some of the artists, they use like a hairdryer to dry the ink on the page to speed up the drying process so they can get their hands back on it. So, you know, but I'm not really, the only reason I'm like sort of fond of pens is because of Tintin, because of Hergé used pens. But I'm not really clear on what kind of pens he used. And even if he did use pens, they're probably not available anymore. And if they were available anymore, they're probably not as good as they used to be. Because that's one of the problems we have with art material now.
This is when you go to the Tintin Museum, a good question to ask.
Yeah, there you go. Because that's the problem with art music. Because art material, people don't use it as much as they used to. A lot of it is going the way of the dodo. So, you know, pen, like nibs and stuff like that aren't as commonly made, nor as well made as they once were. So there's people out there who, you know, search for old pen nibs that they can use. And it's, sometimes they'll come across like a box of nibs that weren't used. And just like a woo, woo. Because I had a friend who only would use Pear soap, but he didn't like the new Pear soap after they were bought by Unilever. So he would buy at auctions. He would look for Pear soap and he would find it, which seems odd to me that they would be auctioning Pear soap. But yeah, he would find it like on eBay or whatever.
Everything. Yeah, it's crazy. Auctioned, yeah.
Yeah. And so you buy these old things. And I understand because the new Pear soap, the Unilever stuff is not as nice as the old Pear soap. I agree. But I am too lazy to go scouring through auctions to find. Because once again,
and then you're
how
playing
long am I
a game
be?
Of like, will you last longer than the supply of soap in your lifetime?
Yeah, there you go.
And then what happens?
Then what happens? Yeah, you have to find a soap you like.
Yeah, you got to go. Well, what you do then is you Google, if you like Pear soap, you'll like and find the parallel soap.
Sure.
Maybe soap technology will just be so excellent that, you know what, maybe we'll just all clean ourselves with lasers in the future. Or just 3D print another version of yourself and just put your thoughts into that. And then that clean self is fine. And you throw your other self out the window and you stay young forever. Maybe that's the way it'll go.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's realistic. Speaking of deteriorations of the body, had the good news about my eye again this week.
Okay.
Whereas like many years ago, I started to go a little blind in one eye from there was stress and some stuff went in the back. And
sorry to interrupt your.
No, please.
So when you were, what was your vision like then? Were you missing part of your vision?
In the center, it would be like if I was watching TV, it would look like people had pinheads, like as in Zippy the Pinhead, kind of that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like would go to a fine point. Yeah, it'd be kind of like that. Things would be like triangles or just distorted in the very center.
That's unpleasant. So how long did that last? That
a couple of years.
Really?
Yeah. And and then I was taking some medication and you know, trying to not be as stressed.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's been great for the last, like, basically, like, you know. And then, you know, the last couple of years have been fairly stressful, but especially last year was really stressful. So I wasn't looking forward to going to the ophthalmologist this year. And as I'm in there, you know, last year I had pretty good news and the year before pretty good news. And so I'm in the room with everybody who all have wet coughs. Man, room full of wet coughs. and everyone, it feels like, is getting an injection before me.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, well, I'm going to have to give you an injection. Like, this guy's injection happy today. It's like, you know.
And they're all being injected into their eye.
That's it. Yeah. You're getting injections in your eye. This is a thing. But when I first had this happen, I didn't realize that was a thing with, like, someone will give you a, sorry, that's, I mean, it's really disturbing to hear this. It's more disturbing to have it done. I had it done. you know, a needle in the eye. And you're like, well, that can't be a thing. That's an old EC Comics cover.
Yeah.
That's not that's real. Right. But yeah,
injury to eye motif.
Everyone's getting that business done. But then I went in, and even though this year has been like, whoa, it was completely gone now. It's all 100%. You know, I still have to go back and get checked next year, as you do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, clear sailing.
That's good news. Good news.
Yeah, so that's nice to know. So whatever I'm doing to try and the stress down is at least the eye is okay. Then, as a side note, I decided, you know what? I'm gonna get my cavities filled. I'm gonna check. Go to the dentist. I'm gonna just.
Yeah. How long has it been since you went to the dentist?
Oh, too long. Way too long.
How long?
About 7 years. Yeah, that's what they said. Well. Too. That's what they said.
And how
too.
Many? Okay,
7 cavities.
So a cavity a year.
Yeah, but also
if you'd gone the first year, you only have 1 cavity.
Do you know what else that I had?
Oh no.
Okay, there you go. So 7 cavities. Yeah. All right, that's the thing.
That's a lot.
And 2 broken teeth.
Oof.
Yeah.
You broke your teeth.
Yeah, I broke 2 of my teeth.
And you didn't notice?
Maybe not. Maybe I did.
What
I don't know.
You just swallowed a bone. What were you thinking?
Well, no, they didn't totally, but they're
Fractured.
They're fractured. Yeah,
okay.
Well, they're actually in between 2 of them. There's like chunks that have broken off, and yeah, they were swallowed.
Yeah.
But like it's substantial, and I've got broken teeth, but I didn't know that I had broken teeth.
Yeah.
And they just mentioned it so casually, like, well, of course your broken teeth, we need to be taken care of as well. I'm like, what?
Goodness.
It's like, well, what do we do? Well, what you do is you take a little hammer and you just like tap them to make sure that they won't shatter. Oh. And then you're like, what the fuck? But make sure they won't shatter.
That's when he brings out the comedy mallet and the big giant chisel. Right?
Yeah, hilarious.
Oh, the kids love it.
So yeah, got all that dental work done. Got the broken teeth fixed. Got all this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm. You got veneers, right?
No,
your teeth look a lot different. Yeah, I think you got veneers.
What's veneers? What are you talking about? Now maybe one day.
Did you hear that denial, everyone? That was, what are you talking about?
No, I had 2 friends who got that done fairly a little while ago. It's interesting because they're married and they have matching teeth now.
Oh.
It's like, oh, couples, their teeth starts to look alike when they, you know, a
couple of Cheshire cats.
Yeah, they got big smiles.
Yeah.
Big smiles. But this is my dentist. She does this one, which is great. It's like, okay, so this is going to hurt, so don't flinch. Mm. That's the thing that she says to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't really hurt. But it's just like, that's a thing to hear.
Here
comes some pain. Don't flinch.
I guess it's better than unexpectedly giving you pain.
Well, what you say is the old, this may pinch a little. They may feel a little sting.
That's not preparing you.
This is going to hurt. Well, what's that mean? At what level of? In red hot poker? As in just like little pinch?
It'd probably be better if she said, this is going to be pure agony.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, well, that wasn't that bad.
But then I don't trust her anymore because she thought this was going to hurt.
She's overselling she's helping you.
Yeah, each one of these has at least 2 this is going to hurt a thing. And that they didn't hurt was like, but maybe the next one will. And you just the immediate tense up because it's like, okay, Dave, this is going to hurt. So relax. And here it comes. Like you don't. You just. Ugh.
Yeah, my dentist was the opposite of that. He was my old dentist. He was very calming.
Oh, what did he say?
He'd just be like, I'm just going to da 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 and I'm just going to da 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 da.
And did it hurt or did it not?
No. And everything, he was painless. He was an absolutely painless dentist. It was amazing. And I consider that to be a good dentist. I think dentists that hurt you with your cleaning and stuff like that and the scrape, there's no need to scrape your gums and hurt you. Like, what the hell? I'm just here to get my teeth worked on. I don't want my gums killed.
And I got to say, I was going through some stressful stuff this week. With like news about friends and whatnot and what have you and other things. And I actually found being at the dentist relaxing, not Nina Matsumoto relaxing, where I like to get my teeth taken out. Hi, Nina. Thanks for listening to the show. That's a shout out to you.
That was a shout out, Nina.
That's a shout out.
You and your teeth in a box.
But it was nice to go like, okay.
Should we explain where that's from? Tina had.
I think we did last
Nina,
week.
I don't know. Did we? Nina had her wisdom teeth pulled out.
Yeah. I did a little cartoon about it.
She did a great cartoon about it. A greatly creepy cartoon about it where she now has her teeth, her wisdom teeth in a box that she can rattle. And she drew a cartoon about that. And I went, ugh.
I've got my wisdom teeth in a little envelope.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where sometimes I would take them out and I would just rub them for wisdom. And so, come on, be smart. And
come on, lucky seven.
And they've got a little gauze around them.
Yeah.
And a little tiny envelope.
Mm.
But what was nice was being in the dentist's office, and I was going like, this may hurt. This may whatever.
Yeah.
But for about an hour, no one can reach me. So I can't get any bad news.
Okay.
I can't get any bad news.
Yeah.
So I can't get any notes on anything, or someone's going, this is all wrong. Here we go. And so I was like, at least a bit of, like an hour of relief in the this is going to hurt. Don't flinch. Go for it. Knock yourself out. Take your time. Stretch it out. Here we are.
Maybe that's why Anina likes it.
Maybe.
It's just like you guys are like, you've discovered a new kind of sensory deprivation.
Maybe. It is, you know, very spa-ish.
Yeah.
You are lying back and having it done.
Yeah.
When I had my wisdom teeth out, I didn't mind it at all. I was like, I felt the breaking and all the stuff, but it didn't hurt. And it was fine.
I was knocked unconscious for mine. And no, I didn't request that. That's what they did then. I think they've recognized nowadays that anesthesia, like being put under, is actually very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't just do it willy-nilly like they used to. So there you go.
How many times have you been under anesthesia in your life?
Ooh, let's see. Tonsils?
Yeah.
Wisdom teeth? 2 stomach operations? 1 testicle removal? That's it.
Yeah.
That was 5 times?
And that was all one.
One time. It was a very long surgery. Very long surgery.
Yeah.
From tip to tail, they said.
I said, you know what, doc? Give me the mixed bag.
That's right. That's what I asked for. The smorgasbord. A little of this, a little of that. Yeah. That's 5 times, I guess.
I've never been under with anesthesia.
It's an interesting experience because...
You don't dream.
You don't dream at all. You basically... every time I've done it, they've asked me to count backwards. So you start counting backwards or doing the alphabet backwards. And basically like three... It feels like 3 digits in or 3 whatever's in, you are out. Mm-hmm. And then... You wake up in an incredible pain, and you can't believe how much it hurts. And then it slowly gets worse. No, you get better from there.
That is a bad wake up.
But it is a bad wake up. Yeah, you wake up and you're just like bright lights.
Yeah.
Because the last time I remember,
now, I don't remember my tons. Does time pass for you? Like, does it feel instant? Like
it feels 3, like instant. Yeah.
2 pain.
Yeah.
Is it like that.
Yeah. It's like you come into blackness almost right away. You go into blackness.
You don't have any
blackness.
Sense of like time has.
You
passed.
Don't have any sense that time has passed. No, and you just. Okay. Come up into this new world, and you're no longer in the operating room. You're now in a different area with bright lights above your head, mm-hmm. and you're just in incredible pain. And I mean, the part of that is because I just remember my stomach operations, which are my last operations, and they were very involved with a lot of my organs, my internal organs, sitting on a table beside me.
Right.
But it's been a long time since my tonsillectomy. I remember I have select memories of it, but I don't remember like the details of the operation. I remember that it was hurt to swallow, and I would like. Walk around until I looked like a chipmunk with all the saliva in my mouth. And then I would sneak into the bathroom and spit it out because I was supposed to be swallowing to get my throat used to, you know, back to used to being, having stuff going down it. But it was so painful that I couldn't bring myself to do it.
There were so many sitcoms at the time where that was the plot was time to get your tonsils out.
Mm.
So many.
And I don't think it's been like, as much as it is.
No, it isn't anymore. Yeah. It's very rare. But yeah, the thing was, but you get ice cream at the end. It was like, and it's like they always got.
It's not worth it.
They always got strawberry ice cream. I don't know why, but it was like, it was always strawberry ice cream that they would get in the sitcom. And I was like, I don't like strawberry ice cream. Pass. Not for me.
It was a couple weird things. One was I was in the girls' ward.
Mm-hmm.
This time, boys and girls could not be in the same ward because they may get up to hijinks, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
Boys might see what girls are made of.
Mm-hmm.
Snips and snails?
Right.
Or is that boys?
I don't know. All I know is your organs were on the table, so they could actually see what you were made of.
This is my tonsillectomy.
Okay.
I woke up. I was in the girls' ward. And
you went, sweet. Learn the secrets.
Right. Because I have always been a ladies' man.
Guys, could you teach me double Dutch?
But my mom and dad came to visit me in the hospital, and my dad went into the boys' ward where the hockey game was on. And he came and said hi, but then he disappeared and went and watched the hockey game.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn jerk.
I think we just need to, I think we need to just assemble all the dad stories in this episode alone and make a special spinoff one. And then he was watching hockey. He was eating kimchi. Dad, never eat kimchi around me.
That's right.
Yeah, just around the boys. For crying out loud.
But that's why dads are great.
Sure. They leave and watch hockey.
Yeah, it's boring. You're at a hospital. What are you going to do?
Yep.
My dad, this is my dad. Phone. Hey, Dad, how's it going? Well, pretty good. Slight pause. I guess you want to talk to your mom? Ellie, So it's a conversation.
Yeah, I'm just picturing if like
1 minute with my dad.
You know, your daughter's had like a tonsillectomy or something, and you go to visit them in the hospital. Well, this is boring. I'm gonna go watch TV in the other room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye. Like, just imagine that.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't.
No.
You know why? Because that would be crazy to do that. And everyone would look at you in shock. And they would go, and they would never forget it.
But at that time, I don't even think it was odd. That's the weird part. I think I was insulted by it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think I was kind of hurt. Like, what? Wait, why?
What was on TV in the girls?
Oh, something girlish. I have
no
idea.
How to plant flowers.
That's right. Some gardening show.
That's right.
There was a show about making paper dolls because there were girls.
Those shows were so popular back then.
I have no memory of what.
I'm trying to think. Like,
probably, you know what? There was no TV.
Oh, they don't
girls,
like it.
Girls don't like television.
They were just quietly reading.
Quietly reading and sewing.
Yeah.
Out of place.
I know we're going to get onto that movie thing. It's another Anne of Green Gables out.
Fuck that. There's only one Anne of Green Gables. I think we all can acknowledge that, right? That girl. Megan Fellows? Is that who played it?
Calm Fjord?
I've never seen it. I've never actually watched it.
There are so many.
But I feel like they've done it. That one seems like was the best, and they don't need to keep going.
Have you ever seen the anime version of
Anne
of Green Gables?
Don't need it.
Oh, it's done by all the old-timey guys who are really, really good.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it would
because
be...
they have an Anne of Green Gables in Japan.
Sure, they do.
They do.
Okay,
it's a fact. I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm saying that as a fact.
And here's what I'm saying about Anne of Green Gables. It's fine, folks. It's fine. I like an Anne of Green Gables.
No, this one's going to be totally CGI.
Okay, but it's
they're going to wreck it.
I'm fine with Anne of Green Gables. We've got enough.
Yeah,
we're good. There's other Canadian books.
Yeah. It's time for the Stone Angels.
There you are,
Margaret Lawrence. The Diviners. Why don't they make those into movies? Those would be good.
You know why? Because dentists can't give money anymore.
That's right. They're just too busy hurting us.
Yeah.
This may hurt a little bit.
Bringing the pain.
All right. Let's talk about pain.
All right. Let's talk about
your painful feelings about a new movie in theaters.
No, it's not that painful. Here's the thing.
Hated this movie.
You know what? Let's do our kind of semi-wrap-up stuff right now in case people don't want spoilers on this movie.
Yeah, okay.
So, okay, here's the thing. We got a couple contests going on. Contest number one is, hey, you want to come eat with us at White Spot? That's the contest. We don't know. Some of you have been writing going, yes, well, we're going to put your names in a hat. We're going to decide at some point in the future we're going to go to White Spot. That's what we're going to do. Maybe more than one of you will go to White Spot. We'll do it a couple times maybe.
Sure.
We'll figure that out. Anyway, if you want to go to White Spot with us, we'll treat. We'll talk about stuff. We'll get real personal, get real deep. You can ask Dave about his dad, get a lot of painful stories, have him cry into his milkshake. If you make Dave cry, your meal is free. That's our guarantee to you. It's free anyway. So just contact us. I'll give you the contact information in just a second. But the other thing you can do is if you would like to tell us a story about 2 minutes in length, Dave will provide a soundtrack for that story after the fact. He will give you a nice little soundtrack like we did for Louise Moon one episode or two episodes ago.
Yeah, two episodes ago.
Right. The theme is the one that got away, whatever that means. Could be a job, could be an opportunity, could be a person, could be a fish. And there you go. If you want to send us that, we are on Skype. That's probably the best way to leave your story because you can leave us a message on Skype. And that's Sneaky Dragon on Skype. We are Sneaky Space Dragon.
Sneaky Dragon. That's if you.
It's not one word?
As you'd write it if you're writing it.
Sneaky Dragon on Skype. And you can leave us a message there if you want about other things as well.
First name Sneaky. Last name Dragon.
There you are. If you want to send us an email, we're sneakyd@sneakydragon.com, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. We are on Twitter at sneaky_dragon. We are on Facebook. We are on Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr.com. There you are. That's the things. That's how to contact us. If you want to go out for dinner with us to White Spot, we'll do it. And Dave has
We did have a question.
Yeah.
And that question was, can former friends of the show enter the contest? Of course. Open to anyone. There's no restrictions on this. And just to clarify, we talked about this last time, but I'll just clarify a little bit more, which is that this is an open-ended invitation. So if you are going to be here later on at some time in the Vancouver area, let us know. And we will put your name in the hat, and that's when we'll do it, if you get picked. So we've had a couple people who said that they might be planning some vacation time here. And could they be put into the hat? And I say yes.
Yep. Dave is very social. He may take you to a haunted house. He's done it to people who have come to visit in the past.
They didn't even want it.
No, they went like, you're going to a haunted house. But I'm scared. Let's go. And we did.
I was probably more scared.
That's that. Okay. From now, from this point on, we are probably going to have a couple of spoilers for the Logan movie. If you want to wrap up the podcast right now, we promise we won't say anything interesting at the end. We probably will. But, you know, so there, you've been heads up.
Yeah.
You've been heads up.
Maybe I'll try and remember to, I'll put in the start and end point of our Logan discussion into the show description.
Oh, we didn't even say that our website is sneakydragon.com and you can leave a message on our message boards there.
Yes.
There. That's the other option. In fact, we have a lot. We like people doing that and we will always get back to you on there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Logan, what did you think of it?
Well, I thought it was okay.
It was a piece of shit. Okay, that's the end of our show. Thanks so much for tuning into Sneaky Dragon. We'll be back next week with more sneaky fun and sneaky time. All right, let's go a little bit more. That's fine.
Spoilers. The show ended.
People have been going nuts for this. They've like,
there's been a lot of enthusiasm.
This is the best X-Men movie.
People have been going, I think it's kind of got two both extremes. People have been going nuts for it and people don't like it very much.
I haven't been hearing a lot of the don't like it so much.
Well, listener to the show, Gavin Pitts, did not like it at all. He thought it was...
He thought it was very well done, but he thought it was a huge bummer.
Yeah.
But he thought technically it was very well done.
Yeah, it's a very well done film.
The acting is all very well done. Yeah. It's well directed. Mm-hmm. But the subject matter is a huge drag.
I knew so little about the film that when I went to see it, when the credits were running and it was... directed by James Mangold, then I was like, okay, this has an actual, like, really good director attached to this film.
Now, what has he done?
Well, he did that 310 to Yuma was the last one that he did that I can remember. He did Girl Interrupted. He's done a lot of things.
All right.
I think he directed one of my favorite Tom Cruise films, Night and Day.
Okay.
With Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
I like that movie.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. So,
saw it on a plane. Enjoyed it on the plane.
It's an enjoyable film. It's a very fluffy film. It's a light, fluffy film.
It's Night with a K.
Night with a K, yeah.
Just like comedy with a K.
But I recommend it. So he's brings some talents he brings some directing chops.
It's very grounded. Action scenes are very well done.
Very well done. No shaky cam. This really well done. You get a sense of space.
The audience is shouting through them, going, "Go!"
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and this is one where we're like, in the past,
it's restricted.
Wolverine would stick his claws in your chest and pull them out, and you would not see blood.
Yeah,
this one he'll put them through your face.
Yeah,
and you'll see one come through your eye and business, and you go, "Gah, yeah, you're goring it up."
Mm-hmm.
Here we go, it's gory.
I mean, that's okay.
But it's the shock. The audience then gets, I'm in an R-rated movie.
Yeah,
it's a little different. I get it.
Yeah,
things have changed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
It's more. What's interesting to me, there's a couple of interesting things to me about these movies, like all these films that are coming out right now, is one is that, like, you were talking about it and you were saying, if we take X-Men 2
online, I'm saying?
Yeah, you were saying it as an analog for coming out as a gay person or any kind of difference.
Because there's a line in there where the mother says to Iceman, I think, have you tried not being a mutant? So they really lay it on that it's that.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that...
Stay in the closet.
And I think that's a valid thing in a movie, but or a thing to explore in any kind of film. And I think superheroes is an interesting analog for all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so I like the idea actually that Logan, for instance, is a totally different film than that, and it's not playing on that idea. It has a different thing that it's exploring, a different aging and death, mm-hmm. and that's what it's exploring. Different than that with the X-Men 2, which is more about young kids and young kid problems and stuff like that. Logan is more about growing old and becoming, the debilitations of age and stuff like that. And
they really have that with Professor Xavier.
Professor Xavier is a really good example of that. And it's funny because a show that I like a lot, Grimm, it had an interesting episode this past week because it was an episode about, the idea of the show, if people don't know what Grimm is, it's a goofy show about a person who is Grimm, and that he can see these sort of creatures, almost like fairy tale creatures, that live amongst us disguised as humans.
So like a big bad wolf type.
A big bad wolf type, or and they've kind of, that's how the show started. It sort of expanded its until it's almost everything. Now he's like a chameleon guy. Now he's like there's no chameleons in fairy tales, but you know what I mean, right? But in this episode, it deals with the idea of these what are called Vessen, these people who are sort of creatures who live amongst us, becoming old and losing control of their ability to hide themselves from us, and even attacking us and killing people, because this is part of their nature, mm-hmm. and they control it in order to live amongst us in harmony. But as they get older, and so in this story, there is a creature whose job it is basically is to come into a house of a Vessen who has now become fallen into like a state of dementia or whatever,
right.
And to put them to death, like put them to sleep,
right.
In a humane way. And they open the window. He'll open the window to let the spirit go out, and then he'll put the person to sleep, basically. And it was an interesting idea to me, because in Logan, we face this idea of what happens to incredibly powerful people when they can no longer control their powers. Yeah. And when people can't face the reality of what happens to us when we have this, when we live in this situation, you know, where, and it is a dark topic. It is, aging is a dark thing.
Yeah.
You know, and when we talk about, the Star Wars films ended so happily, and then the next ones are so sad and everything's bad again or whatever. I always like what Robert Altman said, which I think the truest thing you can say about life is that there is no happy endings. Mm-hmm. There's only happy stopping places. And where you stop a story is how you choose how the story is going to end. If you want a happy story, you stop it there. So if you want a happy story, you stop it when the people get married. Mm-hmm. If you want a sad story, you stop it when one of them dies.
Yep.
And that's your sad story. But that's an inevitable part of both those stories. Whether you have a movie end with a happy ending, the story continues on to an eventual sad ending. And that's just life, you know? And so it's interesting when a film deals with it in a way, it's still a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. So it has all the superhero action and stuff like that, but it's still dealing with grown up ideas of age and responsibility. Mm-hmm. And there's things in the movie I did not like at all. If you want to talk about those sort of things.
I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
But that was sort of my thought, just about thinking about it afterwards, you know, like, and reading what you said about it. And I agree with you. And we've talked about it before with, like, the Star Wars films where, you know, oh, it's so great. Oh, now it's so bad, you know. And, you know, because what's the point of this? If it's just going to be bad again, what is the point? Why is it happy now? But to me, I feel like to deal with the good and the bad in life, you know, that's the reality of it. That's the fact that if you marry someone and you love them your whole life, mm-hmm. eventually one of you will leave the other, which is the terrible tragedy of marriage, or of relationships.
One of us
will lose our parents at some point, that we'll lose our brothers and sisters, that we'll lose our friends, that we'll lose our wives or husbands. That's just, you know, and so how do we face that? You know,
and
I think,
and yet it's more like, instead of, you know, how will we lose our, people that we love? It's like, but will they go on a murder spree first? And we've got to deal with that. That's yeah. the thing.
But it's an accident. But I assume the idea is that it's an accidental.
When you throw the superhero powers on top of it.
Yeah.
Now we got to
Yeah, but it does. But it's an interesting thing that you don't think about.
Yeah, the stuff that he did where he has to take Professor Xavier to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
things like that. And don't look at me. I'm not looking at you. I'm yeah. over here. And yeah, it's like, okay, these two guys, they're doing some serious acting here. We're doing this.
Yeah,
this is good. Mm-hmm. I'm all for this.
Yeah,
but on the bigger level of things,
yeah.
you know, the second film kind of is about, you know, the government doesn't trust mutants.
Okay.
Mutants are bad. We need to find out who they are, register them. We got to do all this stuff with mutants because mutants are bad. And Professor Xavier goes, no, we've got, the dream is we can work together.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be afraid of us, but we're not going to be pushed
sure.
around by you.
Yeah.
And that's how the whole thing goes. And you go like, oh, that's the Xavier dream, is we're, humans and mutants together can live together in the world.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But then the rest of the movies don't do that. Like the next movie.
They keep trusting fucking Magneto.
Well, no, it's not Magneto is the problem. It's Xavier's a fucking idiot. Because here's the thing.
So he keeps trusting Magneto.
No, it's not trusting Magneto. Him and Magneto go out, you know, in the next film, him and Magneto go out and find a girl. And the girl is incredibly powerful. So powerful that, like, she lifts all the cars in the neighborhood up and they're like, oh, we don't know if we can handle this. But like, no, you know what? I think this is going to be okay, says Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this risk. So, because he takes this risk, he doesn't know what to do with her. She loses control. She kills hundreds of people. She kills him. She kills her boyfriend.
What movie is this in? Sorry.
X-Men 3.
Oh, okay. I don't remember
this
movie.
She kills Cyclops. She kills Xavier, blows him up. She kills everybody. She kills hundreds of soldiers.
Yeah.
A lot of innocents. And then Wolverine ends up having to kill her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she doesn't get to redeem herself like she does in the comic where she kills herself.
Yeah.
She, you know, the thing would be she should then possess Wolverine, grab his claws, and make him do it.
Yeah.
And so he's done it. He's the vessel for it, but she does it because she... Mm-hmm. has to make the sacrifice. No dice. The guy has to do it for her, kills her. That's the end of that movie. There you go. So bummer. Okay. By the way,
Xavier, I think we all agree that that's not a great movie. But...
It's so not a great movie that the next movie, in order to make any sense, has to correct all that shit.
Yeah.
And bring them all back. And so by the end of that movie, we've corrected it all. It's like, okay, Xavier's back to life. Jean's back to life. Scott's back to life. It's a happy school again. We're now on the level of Wolverine's now full of hope. You know, all this, because, you know, he went through, you know, in the Wolverine world, he was like an old man in the time travel thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been through all this shit and he's seen horror, but it's like, you know what? Hope's back again. The school's here. The dream is alive. Hooray, Malcolm X, yay, we're going to be great. And then with this movie, fuck it, wrong. Not only did, again, even Professor Xavier goes on a killing spree because he couldn't handle his own fucking powers.
He doesn't go on a killing spree, but yeah.
Yeah, he does. He kills a whole bunch of people in the...
No, I know, but it's not a killing spree. It's just an accidental blast of psychic energy. He doesn't purposefully go and kill people. He loses control of his powers.
Well, neither did Jean. She didn't purposely do it. She just lost control of her powers and killed a bunch of people. But this shit has happened before is the thing. Mm-hmm. And like the professor remembers it.
Yeah.
And knows this. And so, you know, and it happens to him. So whatever the first signs of dementia or whatever that he was having, any kind of signs of this, should have done something. But regardless, he was wrong. He's wrong to do this. Mutants can't live with humans. Mutants will kill when they get fucked up or pushed too far. So it's basically like if the civil rights...
Yeah, that's why I thought it was interesting that the Grimm show where it has them willingly...
Yeah.
As part of their culture, this is
that totally makes it's a mature way to go about it. Yeah. It's like the problem with comparing it to something like the gay rights movement or the civil rights movement is gay people won't murder you, you know, when things go wrong.
That's right.
You know? So that was my problem with this was
it's a weird analog.
This movie basically goes to buy into this movie and to, you know, you have to go with like Xavier's idea of the X-Men was wrong. He was completely wrong.
Okay.
People died.
Yeah.
And apparently all the mutants are gone now. So he fucked that up. Mm-hmm. He didn't convince anyone of anything.
Yeah.
He's a complete fuck up. His life was a waste. Not just a waste, but he would have been better off dead years ago because he's going to kill a bunch of people to the point where in this movie, he almost kills hundreds of people in a casino. Again, because this arrogant fuck is out on the road trying to do something. And it's like, no, you should honestly, Wolverine, if he was really the kind of guy with mercy and whatever, would just be, well, snicked, done, because frankly, you can't control your brain.
Yeah.
And you're not, and then when he's not taking his meds, well, go fuck yourself. If the only thing that's keeping you from murdering people is not taking these pills and you're like, I don't like it. It makes my brain cloudy.
He doesn't remember that though. That's okay, part of the film.
Maybe.
He doesn't remember because that's part of what the drugs that, the drug cocktail that Logan is giving him is to make him forget that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. Like when I hear you talk about these films, I think it's very interesting because I do not care about them as a string of films. I don't think about them that way. I judge I don't watch like The Wolverine and go, well, how does this fit into the continuity of blah, 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 blah.
The films don't fit together in any way.
And so I just like the idea of a director, a writer director, like someone like James Mangold, who's given you know, do what you want, make a movie, either it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry what other people have done. It's not really that important. You know, like I think... I mean, that's the really nerdy part of comics culture that we bring to the films is the idea that they have to have like this overarching story that all linked together that tell this kind of Chris Claremont-y 10-year long overarching story that brings us to this point, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think the movie people think that way. They're not nerdy in that way. They're not continuity conscious in that way. They're not thinking, well, this film was like this, so this film has to be that. And that they just don't... They don't get it that way, right? If you try to explain that to them, they'd be like, wow, you're just talking Greek.
But at the core of it, it's like, why do I care about Professor Xavier? Why do I care about this guy who's in this giant airplane hangar or whatever he's in, big thing, and he's got psychic powers.
It's like
powers.
A silo or something.
The only reason I care about Professor Xavier is there's been other movies where this character is the noble kind of Obi-Wan Kenobi character, and it's like, what if you found out, you know, in the next Star Wars, Obi-Wan went on a killing spree and molested a bunch of kids or some shit, you know, whatever.
Well, it's not, but
whatever
can't
it
think,
is, okay. You know, it's like,
yeah,
his, the only reason you care about Professor Xavier is he had a dream.
Yeah.
And he is the, you know, they keep going over and over and again. He is the Malcolm X to, not Malcolm X, sorry, he is the Martin Luther King to Magneto's Malcolm X, whatever the
fuck. Why would they say that? Because Malcolm X didn't kill people.
No, but he's the more, you know, by any means necessary, whereas, you know, and that's where they're going with it. I know. Whatever. But yeah, going with it, he is the Martin Luther King.
See, once again, it seems weird and kind of dumb to make these sort of analogs of superheroes to real life.
But then what do they matter? Things. What's anything in this movie matter? Like, well, because why do I care about Wolverine? Why do I care about this guy who's like just angry and he's driving a cab? What do I give a fuck about him?
Yeah.
Like at all.
Well, that's an interesting question, because there's going to be lots of people going to these movies that have never seen X-Men 1, never seen X-Men 2. And they're going to see Logan.
Yeah, like, they're asking, why is he keeping this guy alive who's so dangerous, who's basically an unexploded bomb, who could go off at any time and kill hundreds of people? What makes him worth the lives, potential lives, of hundreds of people? Why are you the hero in this story and not the villain? Because it feels
But here's what they do in the film is they make Xavier the sympathetic character, because he's the one who wants to save the girl. Mm-hmm. Logan doesn't want to. He has no interest in it. He is the anti-hero in this thing, right? He's the noir hero who's stuck in this, you know, grim situation that there's no exit from,
right?
You know, because this film is essentially superhero noir, right? So Xavier is the sympathetic character who wants her to, or wants Logan, sorry, to save this girl, and you know, he's the one that pushes for the flight to freedom and all the rest of it, you know, to go to North Dakota, to these coordinates.
Right.
And so that's what gives him, his character, some, you know, your sympathetic feelings, you know, when he is actively involved in the killing of a family of farmers, you know, like, then you're kind of like, what the hell are you guys thinking? Why would you stay with people? You know, you're being followed by murderers. Yeah. Why would you stay with innocent people?
Because
that's what really killed me in that movie.
Because they don't matter.
Yeah.
Because they just don't matter.
Well, to the movie makers, they don't matter. That's the problem when you have a movie like that. It's not that they don't matter to the characters, because the characters aren't real, right? I mean, there are constructs. So you create this situation where you have this completely selfish staying with this family and putting them in danger.
Yeah.
When the real thing to do is like, no, we cannot have any contact with these people, right? It doesn't matter what kind of misfortune's happening.
Right.
You know,
because all that matters is themselves and this girl.
Yeah.
Okay. So all right, let's just go with that. So what does Professor Xavier want for this girl? She's a mutant.
Yeah.
We haven't had mutants for a while. So it's like, oh, good, you brought mutants back. But what's the bad thing about the mutants being gone? Like the mutants, they've found a cure, which, by the way, we've had in a previous movie. So big fucking deal that you got a cure.
Okay.
They've had a cure in two damn movies.
Okay.
So you got a cure.
That's fine. So once again, there's not continuity. You're making continuity. I don't think the movie cares about that stuff.
Well, there's enough continuity that there's been whatever. You can have it or not. But like they've found a cure for mutants.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So what's the damn difference in the world? Why is the world worse off now that Magneto can't like wreck a bridge? What's the problem? In fact, the little girl, if this formula had worked on her, then they couldn't have experimented on her. She couldn't have had this metal put in her.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have survived it. All these kids that are being tortured, they wouldn't be useful to the government. They'd be fine having happy lives. So why the fuck is it good that there's mutants? What's the plus? Yeah. What's the positive? Because in the past, we've had the occasional mutant run loose and kill people. In fact, one of them's you, Jack, and you're doing it again. So why are you the hero in this story? It feels like you're the villain. I like that she's a girl and she's sweet looking, but when she loses her temper, she kills everyone in the fucking room.
Yeah.
And it's great that there have been all bad guys so far, but she's going to kill someone by mistake.
Well, it's not been all bad guys, because she attacks the clerk in the gas station.
There you go. She almost killed a clerk in the gas station.
Yeah.
So there you go. So why are you the good guys? Mm-hmm. You know, I get that maybe then we're the anti-hero. That's fine. Whatever. But, you know, Xavier wants to start his dream all over again with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your dream fucked up the last time. Why should we do it again? Why are you repeating that same thing again? What's the what are you thinking with that? Give me a damn reason why it's worth trying again, because the last time it happened, it really didn't work at all, to the point where there's no one around anymore.
Yeah. But I mean, to him, the idea is not, I don't think the movie isn't as much about bad mutants as it is about bad people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the people who are making mutants, the people who are creating killing machines out of mutants are the bad people. They're also the people that got rid of the mutants.
Yeah, why is that bad though?
Well, because
give me a negative to getting rid of the mutants.
Because they're people.
Yeah, they're people, but now they're people that don't have wings. They're people that don't shapeshift.
Yeah.
They're people that can't set fires.
Yeah, but okay.
So why is it bad? Basically, what he's done is, but what they've done by putting this stuff into, you know, our foodstuffs,
yeah,
is they've made our world. They've made it us.
Yeah.
This is us.
Sure.
We are the baddest world that they've just imagined is the one that we live in right now. Why is our world worse than a world with mutants in it? Why is that a positive?
Because
do anything about it, you should respect them. But if you can solve this problem, and it's a problem, Jack, why is that a bad thing?
Well, but to get to this mutantless world, they had to kill mutants, right?
Well, like, guess who's been killing mutants? Professor Xavier.
They didn't just put food into the, and it changed everyone. Mutants already existed. Mm-hmm. So they had to kill all those people.
If it was they, I mean, who the hell knows?
Does make it clear in the film. They talk about it in the movie. He talks about the fact that it was his father who killed the mutants, right? That's what he says.
Well, he killed the mutants as a race by doing the corn syrup. Right. That's right. Okay. But not his father didn't go out and kill every mutant on Earth personally.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened to all of them. Probably they killed each other because that's what they fucking do. Yes. You know, half of them fight the other half, run at each other, stab, stab, stab.
That's the nature of action movies.
Yeah.
You have to have a good and bad thing.
Yeah. And in the meantime,
if it didn't have conflict, it wouldn't be an action movie.
Right. What happens in almost all the movies is this. These mutants, they don't like those mutants.
Yeah.
They're going to fight.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, because of this fight,
yeah,
almost every human on Earth is going to die.
Sure.
Because these guys need fighting. So you get rid of the mutants. Why is this a bad thing?
Yeah.
A lot of these mutants don't want to be mutants.
Yeah.
They don't want to have spikes in their face.
Yeah.
And they want to be able to touch each other so that they can, you know, make love without putting a person in a coma. You know, not all of this is good shit.
Yeah.
Some of them are big furry monsters that don't want to be big furry monsters. So again, I don't see why the bad guys are the bad guys, except, of course, they're wahaha bad guys, mm-hmm, you know, and got a metal hand and trying to kill a girl. Yes, that looks very bad. But it seems like Xavier's ideas were bad. Mm. Were bad.
Yeah.
This has solved a problem. I don't see what the negative is. It's not a Holocaust. It's not rounding people up.
But it is, though, because there would have had to have been rounding up. It doesn't cure.
They didn't say that.
But
you're making an assumption.
But it doesn't cure you. It does say that in the film.
They rounded up mutants and killed them in a camp?
It says that they were killed. I don't say in a camp or whatever, but it says the mutants were killed.
They were going to get killed anyway. These guys... These
well,
guys...
you cannot say that. Like, if I went and shot a gangster, mm-hmm, that's murder. It doesn't matter that some other gangster might have shot him anyway, and right. I just hastened the process. Mm-hmm. It's still bad for me to kill someone.
Yeah, I'll give you that. If that gangster was going to blow up at some point randomly and take out a city...
Yeah.
Is it okay to shoot them?
No.
If they're going to blow up and take out a city.
Well, you don't know that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a maybe, but there's a whole bunch of
maybes. But it's always a maybe. There could be a person walking down the street who could get drunk and drive his car and kill seven people.
Okay, but we've had...
I don't know that. If we're supposed to start shooting random people, I'm not that woman in Dirk Gently.
No, I get it. No, I hear you. Oh, I like that character.
Me too. Best part of that show.
So, okay, so we go through the movie, and there you go. Xavier, to me, is an asshole.
okay.
And, you know, I liked Caliban. I liked the guy. Job. I liked the actor who
plays
that.
But there's an example of – there's a character we've never seen in the films before, as I remember.
No, he was in the Apocalypse, but it was a different guy.
Oh, I didn't see that. I haven't seen that movie.
That's okay. It's fine. You know, he did a nice job.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I had no interest in Apocalypse because it looked terrible. This film had some hype behind it, so I went and saw it. And I thought it was okay. I don't think it was as good as Night and Day. That's a better James Mangold film.
And it's, you know,
it's not as good as Girl Interrupted. You know? But it's an okay movie.
But when you know the type of movie that it is going to be, you're going to like, well, everyone's going to die. Like, you know it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be
okay
that.
With
the exception of the girl, obviously.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but you know what it's going to be. And you're like, is that, what I guess
it's got a story to tell.
I'm a fan of, you know, because.
Sappy romances.
I think with X-Men, the whole thing about X-Men, you know, what's the thing about Avengers? What's the thing about Spider-Man? Spider-Man's responsibility, you know, and what's the thing about X-Men? X-Men is about hope. X-Men is about hope for a better future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's man and mutants can live together in hope. And when you have a film that ends without hope, to me, and like, I know there's a little bit
Yeah, the kids are running away.
Okay, we'll get to that.
That's hope.
No.
You really don't like mutants.
No, no, no. I'll tell you why that's not hope.
Okay.
Because when you have a hopeless movie,
yeah,
and these characters are doomed,
yeah,
you know, and oh, the whole X-Men noir thing is about yep, hope. Well, then you got to find out what the hope is in a noir. Mm-hmm. And you can't have hope in a noir, but you got to make it work for the noir. It's like, I would have liked it if Wolverine, who's, you know, accepting the fact that he's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, he's ready to die. And then he finds out he's got a daughter and he's like, well, I can't die. I've got to live for her.
Okay.
I've got to like give up this suicidal fucking thing that I'm on, and I've got to get my shit together for her, and that I'm going to live for her. That to me would still work.
But he's dying.
Yeah, but so what? He's been dying a million times before.
No, the movie makes it clear that he is dying.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to live much longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But fucking fix that shit. You're mutants. You're in the land of magic. You're in a land of all this shit.
Okay.
You know, you've got the chemist who can kill every mutant on Earth with the fucking corn syrup. Yeah, drink a drink.
Do you think that's why he's dying, or is it the adamantium inside him?
Do you know what I think it is? I think he just gave up. That's what it feels like. It felt like to me was like he's just decided everything is done. All of the mutants are dead. Why am I even here? I'm just going to let myself die. And the animal that feels like it's time to die has decided to die. But then the animal finds out it's got a pup, and it's like, oh, I've got to protect this pup. Gets the energy back and now can raise the pup. That's what it felt like to me.
Okay.
You could have done, but instead they go the other route of just like, no, nope, we're going to do this. You know, and it's a clever little ending, and it's a clever thing, and it's fucking fine. All right. But then what you've got is you've got the kids, and you're like, okay, well, then the kids are the hope. The kids are the hope for the future. And the thing, you know, the negative side of things is these kids are so dangerous that they can't be allowed to live.
Okay.
Because they're so dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got to prove that shit wrong. We got to see something about these kids where you go like, these kids are actually better than you expect. They're loving. They're kind.
I think we do see that in the film.
But then they all end up murdering people, every one of them. And the thing in the X-Men is, Wolverine is the one guy who's the murderer.
Okay.
He's the guy who'll go and do the thing that you don't want to do. He'll do the stabby stab.
Sure.
Everyone else is a superhero.
Yeah.
And by the end, you've made all the kids Wolverine. They all work together
That's a good point. I would agree with you there. That's a problem, for sure. But I think in the scene, in the strangely detailed phone footage of the lab,
mm-hmm,
the nurse talks about the fact that these kids would not, their wills could not be bent the way that the laboratory wanted them, that they had a conscience,
yeah,
and that they wouldn't kill.
Yeah.
And so it does establish that they are good, that they have a sense of right and wrong.
They won't kill for the military, but they will kill to defend
themselves. Well, they'll kill to defend themselves. Well, who's blaming that? You wanted me to kill a guy because he's going to blow up a city.
Right, but what's the world now for them? The world now for them is they're going to just be killing people.
Hey, they're going to Canada. Paradise. Do you think that's weird? That's a weird thing about that film. Okay, that film was made like a year ago.
Yeah.
It's been sitting in post-production, whatever stuff is happening. And yet it felt so timely with people running to the Canadian border to try and cross out of a country.
People being rounded up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hell, man, there was an episode of Supergirl 2 weeks ago that was started with a family in a van, and they get pulled over by a cop, and the cop goes, you got a broken taillight. And they're like, oh, what's that? And the family's like, the dad, mom are singing in the van, the girl's rolling her eyes in the back seat. Like, and it's like, oh, let's see the taillight. And the cop's like, there's no broken taillight. Okay, we've got you. And they're rounding up all the aliens.
Okay.
And so it's very Muslim.
Okay.
You know, and dragging them out, and they're screaming, the little girl screaming for their mom and what have you. And it's like, oh, okay, this seems really on the money.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the episode, you've got Supergirl as a reporter character trying to report on this, but the editor is like, we gotta lock down this story and get all the facts right. Everything's got to be airtight. And she goes, no, I'm just going to put it on my blog instead. And she gets fired. And he makes a big point of like, no, you've got to make sure facts are right for all the news stories. If you have fake news, well, man, you could get a fascist elected to the White House. And she's like, oh, that's what we're doing now, huh? So, yeah, it felt like, I mean, that was an example of we're really doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But this, was an example of.
Oh, very timely. It's as if reading the zeitgeist in some weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, you know, I don't disagree with some of your criticisms. I just don't think the film is a absolute failure. And I,
And no, I don't think it's an absolute failure. Maybe because I think it's very well done. I just think I feel kind of wrong. I feel it was wrongheaded. And I think eliminating hope at the end for the Wolverine character, I get what you do when you kill off the character.
It's supposed to be elegiac, you know, that this is his last film. And
yeah,
it's a tragic ending. And
why not? Why not send instead? Off in it's not. Why not instead? His ending is he's now looking after these kids. And that's the last time we see him. Because that...
And they're working in the junkyard. Bah, 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 bah.
Because what bah, it then... Bah, 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 bah. Because I like that. But what it then becomes is he becomes the Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
Who, when we first met him in X-Men 1, he mocked Professor Xavier. This is a dumb idea. This is stupid. But as he goes along, he believes in the dream so much that he's taken care of Xavier. Xavier dies. Who's the new Xavier? Guess what, Jack? It's you. And now you're leading the dream. And now you've got to find hope, even though you didn't have hope. That's the new fucking X-Men. Hmm. You guys. Wrong. You're dead. Kids are on your own. Good luck. Drones are after you. Time to start killing punks.
Yeah.
See, that to me is a stronger way to go. But that's, you know, that's my thing.
What do you know?
What do I know? I know it's about time to wrap up the show.
Oh, okay.
Because I got to go give a cat some medicine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Enabling. A cat enabler.
And that is the end of our Wolverine talk. Boom. Done. So if you want to put on the episode when we stopped talking about Wolverine, that was it.
You cut me off in mid-thought. That's all right.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No, it's fine. I was just going to say that but as much as I enjoyed Wolverine, it is no Legion.
No, because that show
is freaking
holy.
So good. So good.
Look, man, you had me at Bill Irwin. Like, I love Bill Irwin. And Bill
He's a great, great guy.
Oh, my gosh. He's just doing what a great, great guy. I know. I was like, oh, I wish they'd let him dance. He's dancing in it. Yeah. They're having him dance.
Yeah.
His character is so cool.
Yeah.
That they, you know, again, this isn't a spoiler, but they have like a reason that everything goes silent for a while.
Mm.
So you get the mime guy to do a bunch of great big mime It's like everyone gets to do the stuff that they do well.
So good.
And Aubrey Plaza is killing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's killing it as this creepy, funny character.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit, she's the
best. Her character keeps changing as the show goes.
She's the best villain. She's just the best fucking villain.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think, like, Aubrey Plaza, she's your super villain in your superhero show. No, you wouldn't think that. And I love that her character originally was supposed to be a dude.
Yeah.
And they just cast her instead and then...
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here's my...
And let me just say, Eve and I were watching the last one and Eve turned to me and she said, Twin Peaks better step up its game. Better step up his game because this show is killing it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right. We're not gonna spoil that show.
All right.
But listen, go watch. And also visually, it's amazing. And soundtrack wise, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's scary and funny and yeah.
I've backed off the mic, so I don't interrupt you. So you go ahead.
That's all.
Close the show.
We've given you all of our addresses.
Wolverine
already.
This baby.
Yeah. We've given you all of our addresses. Let us know what you think about all of that business and whatnot, and whether or not you think that we should go out with David's father for kimchi. Let us know. That brings us to the end of the show. Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Hope to hear from you. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
All right. You take care of yourselves.
Bye, everyone.
What a great, great guy.
And now I really have to pee. Oh my God.